Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Ron Rex Show. This is Antoinette. And Ron and I thank you for coming. Ron is running a couple minutes late, so you're stuck with me for now. So we were looking at the march today, and I'm sorry, unfortunately, I did not catch any of the any of the speeches that was played, that it was spoken, but nevertheless, it was interesting, and we are on now at our scheduled regular time now, which is a good thing, and this will be our time for now on. It will be at 9 o'clock, that like it was supposed to be. And so, from the march from New York Times, it has still marching on Washington 50 years later. And it has John Lewis, who made a speech 50 years ago when he was 23 years old. He's the son of an Alabama sharecropper and a veteran of the Civil Rights Movement when he came to the Capitol 50 years ago this month to deliver a fiery call for justice on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. Mr. Lewis' urgent cry, "We want our freedom and we want it now," was eclipsed on the steps that day by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s "I Have a Dream" speech. But 2 years later, after Alabama state police officers beat him and fractured his skull while he led a march in Selma, he was back in Washington to witness President Lyndon B. Johnson to sign the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Today, Mr. Lewis is a congressman from Georgia and the sole surviving speaker from the March on Washington in August 1963. His history makes him the closest thing to a moral value in the divided Congress. At 73, he is still battling a half century later. With the Voting Rights Act in jeopardy now, the Supreme Court has invalidated one of its central provisions. Mr. Lewis, a Democrat, is fighting an uphill battle to reauthorize it. He is using his stature as a civil rights icon to probe colleagues like the Republican leader, Representative Eric Cantor of Virginia, to get on board. He has met with the mother of Trayvon Martin and compared his shooting to the 1955 murder of 14-year-old Emmett Till. Mr. Lewis has an answer for those who say the election of a black president was a fulfillment of Dr. King's dream. Mr. Lewis said it was only a down payment. There was a lot of pain and hurt in America, Mr. Lewis said in his office on Capitol Hill, which resembles a museum with wall-to-wall black and white photographs of the Civil Rights Movement. Current events, he said, reminds us of our dark past. But Mr. Lewis, a longtime practitioner of civil rights disobedience, he has been arrested 4 times since joining Congress, is also encouraged. He said he found it gratifying to see peaceful throngs protesting in a nonviolent fashion after George Zimmerman was acquitted in Mr. Martin's killing. Last week, he created a minor dust-up by telling British Guardian newspaper that Edward J. Snowden, the national security contractor who leaked classified documents, could argue that he was appealing to a higher law, but later condemned the leaks. So he went on to say further things, but a lot of things has been going on now since that has happened, you know, since the march 50 years ago. We're still looking at the, how the voting rights have been changed again, how they're trying to change them. And, you know, we're still looking at deaths like the 1955 death of Emmett Till, how that is also similar to Trayvon Martin's in the sense of no justice. So, you know, this is where we are today. And, you know, where do we go? Where do we go from here? And hello, All Facts. We have All Facts on the All Facts Show. He is in with us now. So, you know, it's just where do we go from here? And I know y'all are waiting for Ron, and Ron will be coming in soon. He's running a couple minutes late, so you're stuck with me. So, All Facts, if you want to call in, you're more than welcome to do so, because I would love to take your call. But other than that, now, Mr. Lewis has said that he's introducing himself to a new generation by telling the story of his life as a freedom fighter in March, a graphic novel that he wrote with a young aide, Andrew Aydin, A-Y-D-I-N. The book released this week is modeled on a 1958 comic about Dr. King, which inspired early sit-ins. Mr. Lewis remains a link to that past. At a National Urban League convention in Philadelphia last month, he was on fire as he told the crowd how his parents reacted when he asked about colored-only signs a lifetime ago in the Deep South. They would say, "That's the way it is. Don't get in the way. Don't get in trouble." Mr. Lewis thundered in a preacher's glance, "But one day, I was inspired to get in that way, to get in trouble. And for more than 50 years, I've been getting in what I call good trouble, necessary trouble. And it's time for us all to get in trouble again." Now, that's a powerful statement when you think about it. It's time for all of us to get in trouble again. You know, that you see things, and even though that they're calling these things as being right, but you know that they're wrong, that they're, what's the words that I'm trying to say? That rights are not being equal, that people are being separated, that people are being demeaned, then we have an obligation to go against the grain. You know, okay, yes, it's wrong, but you know what? I'm going to get in trouble for doing wrong because I'm still going to do what's right. Now, what you do, you do. I encourage you to do what's right. And, you know, let's go and, you know, if we have to get in trouble for doing what's right, what we know that's right, then that's the way it should be. Not that we just sit back and look at it and just shake our head and just hope and pray that one day it's going to change. Because change only comes by working to make a change. And if you don't work and make a change and you sit back and you watch the things that are wrong and you don't say anything and you don't do anything, then you're contributing to the situation. You're contributing to the problem. So where are we going at today? You know, what is it that we're doing? What is it that we're trying to do? You know, where are we going? So these are the questions that, you know, we have to ask. You know, what is it that we're trying to do? What is it that we want to do? What is it that, you know, we see that's going on that, you know, we like or we dislike, or we, you know, are you going to continue to not encourage people to look at things, to, you know, take a different look at things and to, you know, try to teach people, you know, different ways, you know, teach your children different ways, teach your grandchildren, your nieces and nephews, your neighbors. You know, are we just going to allow, just sit back and watch everything that's gone wrong with our youth, with our families, with our friends, and, you know, and just let it just continue to happen? Is this what we want? You know, where is it that we're going? Where is it that we're allowed to be led to? And then do we want to be led or do we want to be the leader? You know, do we want to lead? You know, or do we want to sit back and just watch how things is going on in this corporation called the United States and watch what's going on and just continue to be a sheeple instead of continuing with we are we the people? So where is this leading us? Where are we going? What is it that we're going to do? What change are we going to make? You know, what footprint are we going to leave on this earth that is going to be our mark to say, I was here and I helped to make a change. I helped to inspire people to do better, to live better, to have better, and I want better for my own. What are we doing? So that's the question that I have for you. What is it that we are doing? What is it that we would like to do? What would you like to do? You know, are you satisfied with seeing injustice that are in this, that is being done, and it is, the criminal system is, we have so many people that are black that's in jail. You know, justice isn't equal for the right or for the wrong. You know, we still have a high percentage of unemployment as we did with the first march in Washington. You know, we have today. We still have injustice. The education system, the educational system. You know, I mean, look at Philadelphia closing all of, you know, all of, a lot of their schools. So where are we going? And what are we going to do? How are we going to put our footprint to say that, you know, okay, you're not going to have schools? Well, we're going to teach them. You know, what is it that we're going to do? Excuse me, y'all. So these are the questions that I'm asking. You know, where are we going from here? What is it that we're going to do? What is it that we want to do? You know, we have the crisis that's going on in Syria. You know, it's so many things that's going on. And what are we doing as a people to make things better for ourselves and everyone else? Excuse me. I'm sorry. So, I invite you to call in. The call-in number is 302. Ah, that's not the call-in number. I'm sorry, y'all. The call-in number is 718-508-9813. Again, that number is 718-908. Wait a, oh, Lord, forgive me. 718-508-9813. And we're still waiting for Ron to come on, and I cannot find the music or anything, so I am truly sorry. So he should be here in a couple minutes. And I haven't done this in such a long time that I'm at a complete loss, so please forgive me. That's because I said, Mike, you should call in and help me out some. I would really appreciate it because I am fumbling here. Okay, so let me go back to the article, which is not good because I got a cough. Last month, the congressman made a splash at Cosmic Con in San Diego, where Lou Ferrigno, F-E-R-R-I-G-N-O, the original Incredible Hulk, was among the fans who lined up to see him. But it was serious business, a way for him to reach young people, Mr. Lewis said, and fulfill his duty to bear witness. Each year, Mr. Lewis leaves an emotional reenactment in Selma of the Bloody Sunday March across the Edmund Pettus Bridge, where the brutal police respond horrified the nation. Mr. Cantor participated this year, bringing his college-age son, and said he came away very moved, a sentiment that Mr. Lewis will play on during negotiations over a new bill. John is what I call a gentle spirit, said Roy Burns, a former Georgia governor, recalling a visit by Mr. Lewis in 2001, when he was wrestling with removing the Confederate emblem from the state flag. He said, right before I lost consciousness, I looked up and saw the Alabama state trooper beating me on the Edmund Pettus Bridge, and all I could see was a Confederate flag on his helmet. Mr. Barnes recalled, he said, I want you to remember that. At the Urban League Conference, a pantheon of civil rights leaders, including the Reverend Jesse Jackson and the Reverend Al Sharpton, mingled backstage, but all eyes were on Mr. Lewis. Convention workers asked for pictures. Benjamin Crump, the Martin family lawyer, clutched a copy of March, hoping for an autograph. Strangers asked for hugs. It is often this way for Mr. Lewis. He seems sheepish about the attention, and his speeches hint at survivor's guilt. All I did was give a little blood on that bridge, he often says, pointing to old photos. He refers to himself as young John Lewis, as if he was seeing someone else. Oh, boy, excuse me. It is really hard for me to talk because my throat is so scratchy. So, again, if anyone would like to call in, that number is 718-508-9813. And, again, that is the guest calling number. And I would truly appreciate it if you would call in because my voice is really scratchy and I need someone else to help me talk until Ron gets here. Oh, boy. So, Mr. Lewis goes on to say his parents, he has written, were deathly afraid that his interrogation dream would bring the family harm. So he returned to Nashville where he organized lunch counter sit-ins, got arrested and met a theologian, Jim Lawson, whose teachings about Gandhian nonviolence had a profound effect on him. In his quest to build what Dr. King called the beloved community, a world without poverty, racism, or war, Mr. Lewis routinely votes against military spending. For most of us, nonviolence was a tool we used to achieve an end, said another movement veteran, Representative James E. Claiborne of South Carolina. John Lewis internalized that in 1963 as the new chairman of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. Mr. Lewis helped organize the Washington March. He prepared remarks for so bold, he branded President John F. Kennedy's civil rights efforts too little too late, that older leaders persuaded him to tone them down. He went on to settle in Atlanta, won a seat on the city council, and in 1986, challenged Julian Bond, a state lawmaker and a close friend from their movement days, from Congress. Mr. Bond, handsome, was the favorite, but Mr. Lewis was a speaking style that some described as impenetrable, fought hard, and brought up Mr. Bond's refusal to take a drug test. Mr. Bond later became chairman of the NAACP. It took years for them to repair the breach. He did what it took to win, Mr. Bond said, as you would expect a hard-knuckled politician to do. On Capitol Hill, Mr. Lewis and representatives from the Republican of Wisconsin recently testified before the State Judicial Committee on the voting bill. Now, isn't there something now? 50 years ago, they were on the, it was about voting rights, and today we're back on voting rights again? You know, what is wrong with this picture? Why do we keep going back to the voting rights, and why do we have to continue to fight for voting rights, even though I'm not a fan of it? I mean, you know, if you choose to vote, that's up to you. But, you know, I personally don't see the benefit of voting, because to me it's just the, you know, the same thing. Is, you know, they're just puppets on a string. You know, it's Payday Monsanto, his song, Puppets on a String. You know, that's what they are. You know, we don't decide to vote. That's my opinion. Someone else may feel differently. But we don't decide to vote. So, you know, to me, it's a waste of my time. And, you know, why should I go and give them my time and, you know, gas and everything to get there to vote when you already have it selected who you want to be president or anything else? But now for someone else. But then just the idea that you can take something from me that I have a privilege and a right to do, and a constitutional right, you know, something just doesn't sit right there. You know, I mean, it's bad enough that now they're trying to take away God-given rights. You know, which is the air. You know, in Arizona, they want to, you know, if you have solar panels, they want to charge you for the use of the sun. You know, which, how can you have a patent on the sun? Because you don't own the sun. You know, those are God-given rights. You know, and for water, you know, we pay for water. You know, you go to the store, you buy a bottle of water, and, you know, which is crazy. But because of all of the chemicals and everything that's in water from the tap, then usually you figure it's safer to buy a bottle of water. But water is something that is a God-given right to have. You have the right to water. You know, you have the right to the rain that falls, but it's against the law in some places to store rainwater. You know, so where are we going? Where are we moving to? So I don't know. You know, I don't know what it is, what it's going to take, where we're going, how we're getting there, and how long it's going to take to get there. And if we're going backwards, then why are we going backwards? And then looking backwards and seeing through history where we have been and what we have been through, why are we moving to go back that way. If we're not going to improve the situation, why are we going to go back into what was a bad place for us as a nation, as people in the first place? So where are we going? What are we doing? What is it that we're trying to do? You know, does anyone know what it is that we're trying to do? You know, individually, you know, what is it that you're trying to do as your own individual person? You know, what are you trying to do for your family? You know, then what are you trying to do for your neighbors? What are you trying to do for your community? What are you trying to do for your everything and anything involved? What is it that you're trying to do? What kind of mark are you leaving for this world? What are you leaving? What kind of stamp are you going to leave that says, I was here? You know, when you look at that tombstone and you see the year you were born and then you have that dash and then the year that you died, what is going to be filled in? What is going to be filled in that dash of your life that people can say, oh, I remember this. I remember that. You know, well, they helped with this. Or is it going to be filled with negative? You know, just all the negative things. But no one has nothing positive to put for that dash. You know, what is your life going to stand for? You know, what is my life going to stand for? You know, what is anyone's life going to stand for? You know, what footprint, what mark are you going to leave that says, I was here? Is it going to be good or is it going to be bad? You know, and I think that that's a question that we all have to ask. You know, what is the mark that we're going to leave? What is going to be our dash? What can be input into our dash? You know, other than we were born and we died. You know, what did we do? What didn't we do? You know, and I think that's something that everyone really should think about. You know, what is your dash? What is your dash going to represent? And it's not about being morbid. It's about what are you doing now? And what do you want to do or think that you can do that you're going to leave your footprint, your mark here that says, I was here. And not only was I here, but I was here to try to do something positive, to try to make changes for the positive, to help everyone. And this is what my mark stands for. You know, this is what goes in place of my dash. So, you know, this is where we are. You know, we have wars going on all over. Well, not wars, however they want to call them. And we have so much false information that where are we? You know, where are we? also from the White House memo they have shaping a speech 50 years after I have a dream. And they have, you know, next week President Obama will mark the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington with a speech on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, willingly putting himself in the very place where the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. delivered one of America's greatest oratories 5 decades ago. Wow, that should be something. The split scene comparisons are as inedible as they are unwanted. A gifted orator himself, Mr. Obama, nonetheless faces an unenviable task to offer Americans a stern, resigned moment that goes beyond his sometimes professional remarks. Without falling into a political dangerous mimicry of Dr. King's cachets and rhythms. But the challenge has become something of a self-created one for Mr. Obama during his presidency. This summer, he presented himself in Berlin 50 years after President John F. Kennedy declared his speech. Last month, he chose the University of Cape Town in South Africa as a place for a speech to a young people, just as Senator Robert F. Kennedy did a half century ago. And in November, Mr. Obama has been invited to attend the 150th anniversary celebration of Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. The president has not formally accepted yet, but if he finds himself on this battlefield, he will once again be speaking in the shadow of rhetoric genius. You don't try to outdo the speech that was there. The president's former top speechwriter who left the White House this year, you want the speech to say something new to add to whatever was said before. Why is it relevant today? What can we learn from it in our time? Mr. Obama's mere presence on the Lincoln Memorial platform on Wednesday would speak volumes. The election of the nation's first black president serves as a testament to America's sometimes halting progress to what Dr. King that day envisioned as an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. But the president will not be able to leave it at that. He and his speechwriters will have to carefully choose words for Mr. Obama that stand on their own, a task made almost impossible by the ease with which the youngest of schoolchildren recite Dr. King's most famous lines. It's a hugely daunting challenge, said a speechwriter for President Bill Clinton. If you give some sort of wonky address on the economic agenda, I think it will sink like a stone. It will have to have some lift. Aides to Mr. Obama insist that the president, student of history, is not dwelling on any comparisons that might be made between him and Dr. King, in a large part because he sees it as foolish to try to match him. It seems like these are the historical importance of the moment he is marking are the location where he's speaking, a senior advisor to the president. He does not view this as some sort of competitive exercise. Mr. Obama's current speechwriters declined to comment for the article. But Mr. Pfeffer added, what does not give us any pause is the idea that a bunch of pundits might say his speech wasn't as good. He mocked at an observer in the news media who might suggest that those were pretty good remarks, but they weren't the Gettysburg Address. All presidents face rhetorical challenges at key moments in their tenure, but Mr. Obama has had more than his share of legends to live up to. His acceptance speech at the Democratic National Convention in 2008 happened to land on the 45th anniversary of Dr. King's speech in Washington 5 years ago. So it seems like President Obama has had some really key people in history to come behind and make speeches on about really important things when it came to civil rights. And, you know, it just makes you wonder, okay, what are you doing with it as far as, you know, is he carrying the torch? Is, you know, President Barack Obama carrying the torch of civil rights? You know, we see that he's helping with the Latinos, with, you know, them wanting to, you know, with the immigration. He's helping the homosexual community with the laws that affect them. But what is he doing for the so-called African-American? What is he doing for in that regard? You know, which is, you know, which is what started the civil rights movement, was how so-called colored people were being treated down south with the separation. So, you know, if you can cover the lateral, why isn't the beginning of the what caused the civil rights movement, why isn't that being covered? Okay, so, you know, we have so much that's going on in the world today. You know, we have what's going on in Syria, and, you know, just, it is so much that's going on. You know, where are we going? You know, what are we doing? Do we even know what is it that we're doing? You know, do we know what's going on? You know, where, you see where it's wars and, you know, the things that are going on in Syria is really terrible. And I'm going to give you a link in a moment. You know, but did Syria, you know, are they gassing their own people? You know, does the United States have anything to do with this? Does Russia and China, you know, where is all of this going? You know, who is in charge of this? Where is all of this coming from? You know, so we have NATO special forces in Syria. You know, so what is going on? You know, what is truly going on? And how does this tie in with Israel? with Iran, you know, where is this taking us at? Is this taking us into World War III? You know, where are we going? Why are we going? You know, why are we even going this route? And why is all of this so evident at this time? You know, why is it at this time, you know, which I guess is this is the perfect time in history, but, you know, where are we going? Why? You know, why are we going? You know, so what is it that we're doing? You know, what are they, our role into all of this? So, you know, we're really lost in that area, you know. Now, in the New York Times, again, it says, if Syria loses, America loses if either side wins. You know, so regardless if any side wins, you know, America still loses. Well, how is, you know, why is this really our concern? I'm going to put the link in the chat room for y'all. But on Wednesday, reports surfaced a mass chemical weapons attack in Damascus suburbs for human rights activists claimed killed hundreds of civilians, bringing Syria's continuing civil war back onto the White House foreign policy radar, even as the crisis in Egypt worsens. And I'm sorry, I have too many windows open and I gotta close them out, but they're not letting me. But the White House, but the Obama administration should resist the temptation to intervene more forcefully in Syria's civil war. A victory by either side would be equally undesirable for the United States. At this point, a prolonged stalemate is the only outcome that would not be damaging to America's interests. Indeed, it would be disastrous if President Bashar al-Assad's regime were to emerge victorious after fully suppressing the rebellion and restoring its control over the entire country. Iranian money, weapons, and operatives and Hezbollah troops have become key factors in the fighting. And Mr. Assad's trumpet would dramatically affirm the power and prestige of Shiite Iran and Hezbollah is Lebanon-based proxy, posing a direct threat both to the Sunni Arab states and to Israel. And 678, I'm going to let you in now. Wait a minute. Your mic is open. Hello, 678.
Antoinette, my dear, how are you this evening?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you? And I have a 111. I'm going to let them in also, okay?
Hey.
You ready?
It's your show.
No.
It's your world. It's your world. I'm just living in it.
No, hello, 111.
Hi, Antoinette, this is Cynthia.
Hello, Cynthia. Well, thank you both for calling in. Ron is detained, as you both can see. So, Cynthia, I'm going to start with, let N2K start off because I got him first, okay? And he was holding longer than you were. Okay,
so
who's snoring?
No, that was me humming, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, somebody snoring already? I put you all to sleep.
I wish I could be awake and snore at the same time. I could be a circus act.
Well, I want to thank both of y'all so much for calling in, because as you can see, look, I cannot find where you play the music or anything at. So.
Okay. So I heard you talking about Damascus and what?
Yes.
How many people died?
Oh, boy, I don't remember.
Is it 200, 100, or 200 or something like
You're
that?
You're not in the chat room, are you?
Yeah.
I put the links in the chat room.
Okay. I'm not physically in front of my computer at the moment, but I will be soon.
Okay. See, I have too many windows pulled up now, and
okay.
I'm trying to get them closed, and I can't get them closed.
Because I just caught the tail end of what you were just saying in regards to Syria.
Oh, okay. All right, give me a second and let me close this out. Look, I have not done this in years by myself, folks. I'm truly sorry.
You're okay. Nothing in life is an exact science.
Yeah, it's been a long time. It has actually been years. So.
But while you're doing that.
Yes.
You know, the Middle East has always been a hotbed from time immemorial. So, you know, this has been a longstanding plan that is finally starting to actually come to fruition. And you're just fortunate enough to be living at the time where you get to witness it all, whether it be wrong or right.
That is true.
You know, that's the geopolitical landscape that we live in now, where, you know, and we have all these examples of how human life has really no value anymore. I mean, for us normal people, it does. To a degree, but we're constantly given examples of how it doesn't, and this further erodes society and creates to not only the dehumanization of people, but also it desensitizes people to the suffering of others.
Yes, it does.
You know, and then we get involved in all these political arguments and, well, they shouldn't have took this side, they should have took that side. And at the end of the day, you know, the people who, these individuals who are in power at the end of the day, whether they're Democrat, whether they're Republican, whether they're from another country, you know, it's a small group of people and they're all on the same team. You know, and all of this stuff. All of this stuff that they put up.
You finally got the switchboard working?
Yes, I did. Thank you, Joe.
Good. About time. Not to interrupt you with knowledge. Go right ahead.
Oh, you're good. You're good. And all of this stuff that they put up in front of us is, I mean, at the end of the day, man, it's just a show. And people are starting to see that now. Whereas before, they actually believed in what was going on. I mean, the game hasn't changed. It's the only thing that has changed is the way that they're doing it. It's much more in your face now. As before, it was like a magic act. It was like a sleight of hand. I mean, just for instance, when you look at what went on with Egypt, I mean, first there was Libya, then there was Egypt, and you just completely, in what, 12 months' time, You just completely destabilized that area. And we had these discussions before where I don't think it would have went over as easily as it did had Gaddafi still been in power. That would have added a little bit more to the myth. But, I mean, that's just the way I see it. Others might see it in a different way or have a difference of opinion.
Yes, I agree. Okay, I agree. Joe, you have something you want to add to that?
Yeah. I'm going to disagree with knowledge about how we're lucky to see the end of the world coming.
Well, I didn't say lucky. Well, did I say lucky or did I say fortunate?
Fortunate.
I might have said one of the two.
You said fortunate.
You said fortunate.
Bad choice of words.
You know, because I'd rather be either dead now or maybe 200 years from now if they, you know, if they revitalize the human race. Maybe I'd like to be around then. Alex Jones shares your opinion. He says, well, we are rather fortunate to see the turn of events. And I'm saying to myself, hold on a second. You know, I don't consider myself lucky to be the next recipient of World War III. But other than that, though, Jesus, I was reading just before I came on the show that the war in Syria, if we go in, General Dempsey, I don't know what particular position he holds right off the top of my head, but he says it's going to cost about $1 billion a month if we go to war with Syria. Jeez.
Boy.
God. I mean, is there any...
And look at all the families and, you know, the problems that we could be solving here.
Well, theoretically, yes. But every time the government throws money at a problem, it only gets worse, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But didn't they used to say that, I remember years ago, my mother used to say that they needed a war to improve the economy. But I don't see where this is improving the economy.
Well, I guess it's overkill. I suppose that if you have a stagnant economy and you have people out of work, and if the war can really employ enough people, I suppose that's true. But nowadays, how many people are unemployed? I forget.
I don't know, but I can check that for you.
Was it 30, 40 million? Some crap like that?
I can't.
Yeah. What? Yeah. It's something like that.
I know
40
it's
million
a lot.
On food stamps. I forget now. But it's really, man, I don't know. I think I started about 2 or 3 months ago. Somebody said something or I had read something, and it sort of like put the last piece in the puzzle about, I guess, the last bullet just got fired, you know. And it made me think, all right, forget it, America. It was nice knowing you. So I'm just the eternal pessimist.
Well,
I mean,
how many people
are
today?
It's hard not to be sad.
Mm. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Especially
well,
when you got the same thing going on all over the world simultaneously.
Yeah. And people won't believe us if we tell them, at least when I say to people. You know, it's all done by design, you know. Unless I'm preaching to the choir, other people will just think, no, and people can't be that evil. Yeah.
I agree wholeheartedly.
You know, so.
What's that old saying? Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely?
Yeah, that's the one. No further instances of proof. Other than what we see today.
Yes, now, what I pulled up.
You have
was,
money, and you always have corruption.
Hello, Allfax, from the Allfax Show.
How you doing? I love the show. You was doing great earlier. But I just
wasn't
here.
You
don't
hear my voice and everything.
When you have money and power, you will always have corruption so far in this history that we've been here. So.
I put a link in the chat room, tradingeconomics.com, the United States unemployment rate. So it has the United States unemployment rate. Unemployment rate in the United States decreased to 7.40% in July of 2013 from 7.60% in June of 2016. Unemployment rate in the United States is reported by the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes. So the United States unemployment rate is average 5.82% from 1948 to 2013, reaching an all-time high of 10.80% in December of 1982 and a record low of 2.5% in May of 1953. In the United States, the unemployment rate measures the number of people actively looking for a job as a percentage of the labor force.
Right.
So you can, you know, look on the
site
that I put on.
I don't see that link, Antoinette.
I put it in there.
Yeah, and I'm looking for it.
Oh, you can't see it?
No.
Now, the thing that's interesting about that to me is that when they give those statistics, it's always important to look at what was going on at that point in time. Now, maybe somebody can help me out. 53, that was after Vietnam. Was that prior to Korea, or was Korea at that time?
Korea was prior to the Vietnam War.
That was after World War II, but was 53 prior to Korea?
Korea's thought was 51, 52, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought.
1950, it started in 1950, the crisis and stuff.
Oh, yeah, 50 to 52, okay.
So in 82, what is that? We had the Cold War with Russia. So there wasn't any actual fighting going on, but there was nuclear proliferation.
We're still in a war with Russia.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just looking at the state of the nation at that time. So most of the money in 82 was being put into the military-industrial complex, even though the United States wasn't actively involved in any actual conflict with any nation.
We were going through détente, and the Cold War came after World War II.
Right.
And it continued on through the Korean War and through the Vietnam War, and then détente when Gorbachev came in. And then after that, it was Khrushchev during the Cold War. That was during the time of Kennedy. So that was in the 60s. I'm still not seeing the link, Antoinette. Is anybody else?
Link, you want me to put it in again? You're not in the chat room, correct?
I Googled it.
I wanted to challenge you guys on something because, see, people say things, and I look and I open up my eyes. They say war makes money. When people want to go to war.
Excuse me, all facts for 1 second.
Oh, I didn't know
I'm sorry, sweetheart. Joe, you're not in the chat room?
And through Knowledge put it in. Thanks, Knowledge.
Oh, okay. Good. I wonder why.
Your switchboard isn't working, or your studio isn't working right now, I guess.
No, I guess it must not be because I don't want to mess with it because if I mess with it, I don't want to.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Otherwise, things might get worse, and you might not be able to have callers coming on. Yeah.
Right, so I'm just going to leave it alone.
Well, just tell us what you need. We'll do it as a community effort. Just tell us what you need.
Yeah, I'm sorry, y'all.
Well,
we got to just wait for Ron to get his area here, because I can't even see who's in. You know, I see the small chat board chat room mm-hmm. that I have in the.
Don't worry about it, because I was just trying to get on another show before I came over to yours. And the girl unmutes me, and then she can't hear me, so then she mutes me right back up, and then she says, well, I thought I had a caller, but I guess not. You could try a little harder, girl. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about her. Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Oh.
Oh, well. Doesn't matter. We're all here anyway. I'm glad I saw Ron's show.
Yes, I'm glad that the links are coming out on time now. So that's a good thing.
So what was everybody talking about before I got here?
Well, just what we're talking about now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So.
I was about to say, people say, you know, they need to go to war to make money, boost up their economy. But we've been in a 10-year war, and our economy been sinking when we've been at war. See, back in the days in World War II, they made bullets with the hands. You know, people almost lost their life of making bullets. Now machine make bullets. See, I don't understand these. See, it's not a. See, we're going into a technological age. Most of the stuff, machine. Sooner or later, machines are going to be building houses. People really don't have to work. If we're so technically smart, you don't have to labor hard. We don't have to manufacture. The machines can do a lot of things. I was watching how it's made, guys, and I was watching how a kitchen life is made. And all through the process, and all through the process, the machine makes the knife. But at the last instant, the man comes in when it comes to sharpening the knife, because the machine can't sharpen as well as as a human touch, as a human way. So man is definitely, but back in the day, imagine, you know, making those same knives. They had about 15 people working and making those knives. So, you know, people say war is for money now. No, war is not, don't boost up the economy like it used to. It's too automated now.
And so, I saw a...
It's a good economy. It hasn't helped America economy in the last 10 years.
I saw an infographics about how robots are actually going to take over humans, not only in the conveyor belt department, but in office jobs. So can you imagine the kind of unemployment we're going to have if robots can become that efficient? They can just say, oh, my God, we're all going to be organ donors because we'll be nothing but targets for euthanasia and eugenics. It's going to be horrible, horrible.
That's the transhumanism agenda.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
What's going on, peoples?
Hello, Michael.
It's Michael.
Hey, Mike, what's
Hello,
going on?
Hello, dear.
Mike, I bet you know a lot about that. You do a lot of research you don't even really talk about.
There's a lot of shit I don't talk about. I mean, I don't think a lot of people understand. Talk about it. What y'all talking about, like robots and shit and all that shit?
Anything and everything.
Yeah, we were talking about how we're all going to be replaced in a few years.
Oh, okay. Because if you look at video games, they got a game called Metal Solid, and they were talking about this for the past 12, 13 years. That video game about transhumanism.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but did you see, Eddie? I'm sure all of you must have seen that statue of the transhumanism. I think it's in, maybe it's in Switzerland, where it's about a, it looks like a corpse trying to rise out of the ocean, and it looks like the skin is being stripped away, something right out of the Terminator. Ooh, God, it's ugly. I mean, it's, what an emblem. Ooh. You know, you take a look at that, and where was the last Bilderberger meeting? Because that's where it was. It was right outside the building.
It was in London. I forgot where it was at. But it was in London, some part of town outside of London.
Yeah, it was crazy. It's shiny, it's silvery-like, just like the robots in the Terminator. And it looks like it's crawling along. And that this is supposed to be the emblem of the future, about how man can merge with the androids and extend his life and all of this good crap.
You think we're going to really get that far? You think we're going to really let ourselves get that far?
I doubt if it's going to be meant for us. I'm sure it's going to be meant for the rich people. Not for us.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess that they can go.
The technology is already there. I know everybody has seen the who is that does the insurance commercial, and the background is always all white. They have the dark haired lady with the short hair, and she always wears that really bright red lipstick. Do you guys remember the commercial where they're in a showroom and there's a car, and the guy walks up to the car and. Yes, and the two females that are standing by the car beat the guy up, and they throw him completely across the showroom against the wall, and then he crashes into the refreshment table. Have you seen that commercial?
No.
I haven't.
They're robots, and they look just like women.
Oh, well, yeah. Are they supposed to be the
Chinese? John Lennon, man. They bought to try to clone John Lennon. They have his tooth. Yeah, they're going to take his DNA from his tooth molar,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to try to clone John Lennon.
Mm. Now,
yeah, the man bought it for $30,000. Right, he bought the motor for $30,000, auctioned it off, and he's going to get scientists to, try to clone him. So.
What is the theory going around?
He hasn't already did it. He just bought it. The family just auctioned it off.
With John Lennon. Do you think that it's already been done?
Of course it has been done.
Right,
if you can remember a decade ago. Right, because you remember a decade ago they tried to outlaw cloning when President Bush was in office. When cloning and stem cell research. Yeah, they tried to outlaw. You remember when they were cloning the sheep back then?
Yeah.
Right. They tried to outlaw it because, they're saying immorality. Yes, but some scientists, Listen, those scientists, they're billionaires. They can make their own laboratory. They may work for a hospital, but these scientists, they're friends, they're buddies, they're minds. They're like their kids grouping up together in groups. They can do anything, they're minds.
But you got to
curiosity. Look, they go on in ancient times to where they see. They want to push forward. That's how we got into technology. Question. They ask themselves questions and they say, I want to see how this happens. I'm quite sure they did. Some countries, they may not outlaw it. Nobody can do nothing like that. That's science.
They're giving you the bullshit cloning. They've been cloning for thousands of years. Do you know the military industrial complex for 60 years is 1 year for us?
You have to have sterile sites. I mean, they said they cloned in ancient times. The world was sterile. I mean, were things sterile back then when they were cloning people, sir? Did they have needles and syringes and all those type of things back then in ancient times, technology to clone people? Did they sterilize people, sir? Well, they may have. Well, the only thing I can say cloning is they may have mixed certain type of groups in this skin mixed with that skin, and y'all have sex and see what this turns out, and this hair mixed with that. A scientist may mix people up and have different kids and try to do that, yeah. But, they didn't have no laboratory like they had now, man, back then. That's hogwash. Come on now.
That's not hogwash, man. That's called real fact.
The only way that you can try to control people was by sex back then. You didn't have laboratories like there is now, sir. They lived in caves and huts. It's sterilized.
That?
How are you gonna look at this? So you mean that back in ancient time they looked at the gene? They knew the DNA. They knew about DNA in ancient time.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, sir.
Clone is nothing new. They just giving it to us now. Dumb idiots. If you're a dumb idiot and you're in the Matrix, I'm gonna give it to you now. We give you the first step, but we're not gonna give you.
We have no other artifacts of that, sir. We have other artifacts of other things, but we don't have no artifacts of what you're talking about. We have no artifacts of syringes. We have no artifacts of thousands of thousands of years.
We'll go to the Akhenaten.
Well, Joe, bring up another topic, Joe. Joe don't like what we're talking about, Hood. Bring up another topic.
Not my show. I don't have to bring up a topic.
Well, shut the hell up and let us keep on finishing, Joe.
Oh, so you want to argue. Okay, no problem, Michael. It's your show. You go right ahead and argue with Michael. Okay?
I'll be quiet on that.
Oh, now you're going to be quiet. Good, Michael. Good.
Well, please don't be quiet. Yup. It's very interesting.
Mike had a good show the other few hours ago, I think it was, wasn't it, Michael? Or was it yesterday?
Yeah, it was yesterday.
But
I would really like to talk about the topic. I really would like to talk about the topic about the serial chemical attack. See, I got kicked off a Perry Steele show. I got kicked off a Perry Steele show. He called me a liar.
Oh, really?
No,
of course I did. Oh, listen, this is the first time. I'm bringing this up. I'm bringing this up for a point. I'm making a very valid point. I'm not bringing this up for you. Know me. I'm going up for factual.
Oh, yeah, right. You always bring up snap, right. Yeah, never
exactly.
For the sure.
I made a factual statement.
Absolutely.
About chemical weapons, what we're talking about tonight, Antoinette, and nuclear weapons. right? I say they're not the same. I say they're similar because they're the weapons of mass destruction, meaning that one projectile can cause mass destruction. Just because you don't wipe or, you know, thousands of people disappear in 1 second, mass destruction of a chemical, biological weapon can have impacts years and years and down the line. That's mass destruction on one bomb now. This is the factual information. In March, they said that they would have chemical bombs. In April, they said they was hit with chemical bombs. In July, they said they was hitting with chemical bombs. Now, Obama has said on many occasions, he said, you know, back in the red line with Iran, if Iran do nuclear war, I'll go ahead and cross the red line. Here, you said, hey, if they do chemical weapons in Syria, he's going to have to do something. It's just the same thing. The man has said it, he's backed it up. This is the same thing Saddam Hussein has gotten killed. Now, someone's going to try to tell me, who kicked me off his show, them, you don't know. They setting it up. They not using no, man, them people, man, let me tell you what, them people breathing that stuff in. That stuff ain't no joke over there, and the bodies are lined up. And people say, well, a chemical weapon, the air can just blow that up. Man, stop. Listen, when them bombs hit, they may hit 1, 2, 3 bombs. Man, let me tell you, the whole your whole city is filled up with nothing but chemical. The dust.
Well,
they judge the weather. Listen, they judge the weather. Over there, listen, Joe, shut up. I'll be quiet. We have plenty of time left. Stop huffing and puffing. I'm about to finish. Over here, their houses are not... Shut the fuck up. You're cutting me off, Joe. Why are you cutting me off? Why are you talking the same time I'm talking about now?
You fucking freak.
You dumbass.
Joe,
listen, guys. I was talking Joe Huffington Puff in the middle of my conversation. Shut the fuck up because you're interrupting me, Joe. Shut up, please, Joe. Can I finish? Those people in their houses, these dumb fucks over here, like Price still don't know shit about what weapons of mass destruction means.
Right.
He's talked about me on his show. I'm not doing nothing different, Joe, so shut the fuck up.
Oh, you can't.
Listen,
what?
Those people over here, listen, he
today.
Show those people, I'm going to make my point. Those people
no
over
problem.
There, the way they live, right. Their houses are not insulated like ours. That dust, that chemical weapon could get in their houses. They're not insulated. They don't have many air conditioners. Shut the fuck up, Joe. They live open with the See, man, you're immature, y'all.
Yeah, like I'm the one doing it.
I'll be quiet.
Yeah, you're right. For how long? No problem. Okay. Yeah, I really wouldn't mind listening to Michael Hood because he usually does not interject anything on the shows that he goes to. But I'm sorry, Michael. Go ahead. I won't interrupt you anymore. Okay?
Gentlemen.
I mean, Joe, what's up with you tonight, yo? Shut the fuck up.
It's moments like these when I don't feel so bad about some of the things that I've said.
Me and Joe's in the bar right now, guys. Forgive us. We're in the bar. We're sitting at the bar.
Yeah, we're talking about all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
Y'all know I only serve coffee
and wine. This is how we get down, guys.
I don't serve the alcohol.
Right. This is how me and Joe get down.
Yeah. That's
I need a drink.
I only serve coffee and water.
Hood, what's some of the stuff that, I don't know if you guys have noticed. I'm sorry, Antoinette, will you go ahead? Are you finished?
Okay, we have the Jew on the line. Would you?
No.
See what
Joe,
you're
interrupting the host, Joe. Stop
all
interrupting
right, I'm
the
sorry,
host, Joe.
Mike. Go ahead, all right, will you? God,
now
you're
going
to
interrupt.
We're
going to
bring
now you're not going to say nothing. Jew coming in now, Joe. You're not going to be able to say
we're
shit
we're
going to
bring the Jew in as long as the Jew can remain. He can contribute to the conversation
saying,
and... Pardon me?
I was saying Joe has mentions.
Hey, guys, I'm disappointed.
What's wrong?
Ben Affleck is going to play Batman.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
The motherfucking craziest shit I've ever heard all
play...
day.
No, he's going to play some other thing, too.
And Obama is playing Osama. What's new?
Oh, y'all are not right.
He should.
What's new?
The Jew has a question for Into Knowledge.
I knew it.
Well, hello, Jew.
I did
how
something
are you?
Nice for you the other day. I thought of you and did something nice. Did you respond? Did you even say, well, thanks, Chu. Thank you.
You said you were the black version of him, N2K Knowledge. He said you were the black version of him.
Wait, hold up. First of all, Chu, I don't know what it is that you did, so could you get me up to speed?
You didn't get that email from me?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Well, I'm not even sure I'm going to send it again. You trashed me that night that I sent it on the Perry Steele show. Not that
I trashed you about what? What did I
talk badly about the Jew? How could you do that, into knowledge?
In regards to what?
I don't know in regards to what. I wasn't on the show. I was just listening.
All right. We're going to go.
You were talking badly about the Jew. Not something surprising. I'm sorry.
Hood, you can interrupt.
We're not talking
about anything that makes sense.
Will you explain this?
I can talk now? Yeah, because
no,
he's not going to make it.
Not yet, Michael.
He's not going to say anything that makes sense.
Explain
dude,
this.
What the hell are you talking about, dude?
What does that mean?
What the fuck is wrong with you, man?
What is Ava, Indiana? What does that mean?
It means that they got a thing called Indiana Pacers.
Why? Does it have to mean something, Drew?
Well, I'm asking you what does it mean.
I'm not
going to
ask you because
something.
This is not the
I'm
Jew
asking
show.
You if it does mean something.
Well, this is not the Jew show.
Yes, Anthony.
Jew?
Yes.
Dear, I thank you for calling in. I truly appreciate it.
Yes.
But I'm going to have to ask you
to go fuck yourself.
Stick
what?
On the topics that we
what
were talking
topic,
about.
What is the topic, Antoinette? The topic that I just heard was Joe giving Olfax a hard time. Is that the topic? I can jump in on that. What
they
the
were
topic?
Discussing an issue
like
that they did not agree on. As long
that?
As we're discussing, you know, different issues, that's
so wait
fine.
A minute. My
but
issues we can't discuss.
Excuse me, Joe. Excuse me. Please let me finish.
Excuse me.
Let me finish, Joe.
Joe, don't
now,
mess
as
with
as long
somebody.
As we're
you
discussing issues and it's not personal, then I don't have a problem with it. But
well,
if it becomes
Joe
personal, excuse me,
Joe.
Joe, let me finish talking, okay?
Well, we should make
now,
the point.
Excuse me.
Where's
on,
when
I'm,
it becomes Joe, if I have to say it again, unfortunately,
on, TikTok, TikTok,
I'm going to have to meet
time
you.
Time is clicking away. It's clicking away.
Unfortunately,
come on.
Unfortunately, Antoinette, but
I only asked him what it meant. I don't think that's personal to you.
Well, when you were talking about other issues, so
I've
only thing I'm telling you
is the next. You got to keep up, Antoinette.
Jill,
can I talk
Jill.
About a topic, man?
Okay, I'm getting ready to meet you on.
I would like
on,
to know what that Ava and Indiana stands for.
Bring up a topic, dude. What
okay,
do you think about the March on
okay,
Washington?
I'm going to mute you for a few minutes,
him.
And then you can think
oh,
about
okay, yeah,
what
you
we're talking
me. I
about.
Got to do, Antoinette. But thanks a lot for your time. TikTok, TikTok, TikTok. The client time has gone away now. Okay,
you
guys go back to discussing your not.
You don't be angry. Just leave. Okay,
okay,
goodbye.
I'm sorry, Jew, but I had to put you on mute for a few.
Antoinette,
what
are you running until tonight?
Yes, until Ron gets here. I don't know where Ron is.
Ron's in the chat.
Oh.
No, that's me.
Oh, all right. Okay, so... Like I was saying, Hood doesn't usually interject anything of the kind of research that he does, and I find the research that he does kind of interesting. So maybe we could all pretend we're all in a bar and listen to Mike expound on something, and then, of course, other Mike will, of course, come in and say, nah, that's not true, but, hey, what the hell.
Yeah, that's how people is, man. They don't really want to hear the real truth.
Well, I'm interested.
What is the real truth?
What is the topic right now?
Well, I was going to suggest
what
anything
is the
you
real
want to bring
truth
in.
Of every damn thing? What is the truth of every damn thing? What is the real truth? Who knows? Who knows the truth on this damn
well,
phone?
Well, frankly, the truth is a lie, and a lie is the truth. So you got to start with that first.
So I'm going to ask you, what is the truth again? We're still at the question, what is the truth?
Well, I think anything that can be proven, if you have definable facts, evidence that can be measured, as you're so fond of saying, Michael, you know, that could be the truth, don't you think?
Okay. All right. So, like, Syria, do we ever know the truth about the chemical weapons? Let's try to stay on topic of the show. Let's not disrespect the topic.
Do we ever know the truth, that if they've been using them or not? Because, guys, just now, they already had the U.N. Secretary. Right, but listen. The U.N. sent the CIA and others to make sure chemical weapons were used or not. They wanted to make sure. It's fact, man. They've been using them.
Okay. So, all right.
So we invaded a country for those same exact weapons. Iraq. So, that's just what it is. We're part of the UN. You can't do no shit like that, yo. That's weapons of mass destruction.
All right. I defer to Hood, because I've talked, so I'd like to know what Hood's opinion is. Or, of course, anybody else, but just that, you know, Michael never gets a word in.
Well, yeah, if you look at Syria, man, Syria is a melting pot for World War III. That's the capital for World War III. Because if you look at it, you got Russians already coming in there, and they're allies with Syria already. And if America's allies with Israel, Israel's already been hit by some of Syria rebels, that's telling you now that there's going to be an interference of America, Israel, Russia, Syria, and the other nations that jump in. So this is not
well,
no...
Let me ask you this. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Michael.
No, I was just saying this is not no ordinary war. This is leading up to World War III.
Okay, now
this
what do you think that Obama's going to do?
Do you think
he's going to intervene? Do you think he's going to intervene? Do you think that, you know, he's going to sit back and just watch all of this unfold and let it play out as it plays out? Or is he going to have our troops over there? Or contribute funding, as Joe has said earlier? I want you all to know my whole cup of coffee is cold. I didn't even get to drink it.
That's a poor Antoinette.
Yes.
See, Mike, you have trouble answering the questions. But go ahead, Joe. He's moderating. Well, this is Joe's show.
The question. There's two choices Obama's going to make. Either he's going to support Israel or he's not. There's two choices. But you have to look on at time. We're not there yet. I can't predict the future, so anything can change at this moment. So the two choices, is Obama going to help or Obama's not going to help? But it seems like right now Obama is going to help.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Has any of y'all heard the rumor that, and I don't have the link for it, I'm sorry, that Obama's brother is, somebody has their speakers or something on.
Yeah, Malik Obama, yeah.
That his brother is a part of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Muslim Brotherhood, yep. That's what I was...
So do you think that this is going to play in his decision on what he's going to do?
No,
even though he
whatsoever.
Wasn't raised with his brother, you know.
No, whatsoever. That boy don't like his brother. He don't know his brother like that. Just because you blood brother, that don't mean he don't know his brother like that.
Michael,
everybody
thinks
it's because he's blood brothers, he has feelings for him.
Knowledge. Is Michael's name Joe?
No.
Okay. Just wanted to know, because I just thought maybe Antoinette was asking me, but I thought maybe, you know.
Oh, she did say Joe? Exactly. She did.
I'll
be quiet, Antoinette.
No.
Joe's not going to say nothing. He's going to pass it over to Hood like he did the last previous two
Antoinette
times, like 5 minutes
an
ago.
Open question, and it was for everyone that was on the line, anyone that was in the chat room that wished to comment on it. It was not for any one person in particular.
Okay.
Jeez.
Okay, so Mike, Alfax, since you were speaking on it, you answered it. If you want to continue with your answer, then I will be
well,
more than
I would like to defer my time over to Joe. I'd like to defer my 3 minutes over to Joe. Thank you.
Wow.
Okay.
I have a theory. While everybody's passing the buck, and you guys can continue to do that, I have a theory based on what Michael Hood just said. Just from a geopolitical standpoint, if you look at a map, Palestine borders Egypt, Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon, which is really not a factor at this stage. So on two opposite ends of this spectrum, you have Syria and Egypt, both of which are involved in the same type of situation. What I think is going to happen, theoretically, is that the United States is trying to get Egypt together, and there's a reason why they're being funded militarily, and in order for it to be politically correct, the United States will get involved indirectly in the situation in Syria through Egypt without there being a direct connection, so that the situation with Russia is able to stay on an even course in regards to direct U.S. military intervention, because that's the whole tipping point right now. Russia's like, U.S., don't come over here, don't do nothing. That's okay. They don't have to. Why? Because they're giving the Egyptian military $1.3 billion a year. As soon as they can get that political situation together in Egypt, there's going to be something that happens, which I'm not sure what it is, that is going to draw Egypt into the Syrian situation. That's how I see it. Classic bait and switch.
Mm-hmm. And
nobody wants to comment? I know I'm not well-versed in the Syrian-Egyptian situation, because those are the topics I don't do research on, because I just know we're going to go in. And I know that chemical weapons are supposedly being used, and I think supposedly there was some villagers got killed, and now some people say that was the false flag. So I don't really know. So, I think any excuse that Obama wants to get in there, he'll use.
And the thing is that there's enough going on in the region to tie everybody in together. You got Jerusalem, you got Israel right in the middle of Syria. Israel can't be more than a couple of hundred miles from the border of Syria. And then on the back end of Palestine, you have Egypt. So there's plenty of room for everybody to get involved without the United States having to be directly involved, which they will be, but politically they're going to play it as if, okay, well, we don't have any soldiers on the ground. I think that's how they're going to do it.
Are they talking about a no-fly zone? And I think, isn't it possible, or isn't it even probable, that Israel wants to use us as their battering ram?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But the problem with that is that we fund them so much money, their particular little stretch of land would have to become really destabilized for the United States militarily to have to, visibly present a presence. I mean, they got enough money. They got the biggest military in the whole region, and it's the smallest plot of land.
Yeah, they have atomic bombs. I don't see why we're funding Israel. Of course, people say, well, that's our ally. I have yet, even from Jews. There are Jews on BTR. I've asked them, what is it about Israel that makes them our ally? Well, they're our ally. But what is it about them that makes her our ally? They're our ally. What? That, to me, is not an answer.
Right, right. But then if we go back in history, Joe, we have to remember now, Palestine was once a British, I don't know that colony is the right term, but it was in control of the British before the Balfour Declaration, which I think was in 1947, where they just officially made Israel a state. And at that time, the British controlled that whole plot of land, what is called Palestine. It was theirs. and you know the relationship that the United States has with the British.
Well, I can see. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all part and parcel of the same thing. Because, and the reason why I say it's a classic bait and switch is because you transfer the stuff knowing that if you're funding it, you still have a lot of clout in the area in terms of what can go on and what can't go on. Because, you know, when they were those, what do they call those, where they had uprooted the Palestinians out of Israel, what do they call them, where they had just put people in, like, these, like, internment camps or whatever? What, I forget the term that they used for that.
Not the FEMA camps. Not the FEMA camps.
No. They just put them in these little enclaves where they were, you know, they were just
the,
like, on the outside.
The ghettos?
Yeah. And that's what they did to the Palestinians that were actually on that plot of land. And once that land was given and made a state in and of itself unto Israel, then they moved the Palestinians out. Occupied territories. That's what they called.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Occupied territories. And then
so
when...
So supposed to be... We were talking about the truth earlier, and I'm asking, what is the truth? Who land is that place belong to?
Historically, it belongs to the Palestinians.
Hello,
Cynthia.
Hello, Cynthia.
Oh, we have a Cynthia.
This is not Cynthia. This is Maze.
I'm sorry. Hello,
Maze is in the house.
How are you?
Get those facts from, how you doing, Maze? Where do you get those facts from, sir, when you made that statement?
Because Israel didn't exist until 1947.
Okay, let's say that. Okay, but
it was Palestine.
Okay, from that conclusion, you say a group of people. So you saying it was called Palestine then?
Yes.
It belongs to a group of people.
Palestine.
How can you? I want you. You saying the truth. I ask the truth. You're saying the truth is it's Palestine people. So you are going to point to me a group of people that you can say for certain that you know their country is Palestine, and that they actually had that Pacific land, and they called themselves the Palestine people in our history books. Way
no
back sense. In ancient.
Mike, it didn't become the state of Israel until 1947.
No, I know that. Listen, I'm with that. I'm not talking about that, bro. Listen to my question. I understand that. But you, historically, you said it belongs to the Palestine people. That means you're pointing out the Pacific people, their culture, and you're saying you're giving it the geographic land. Point to in history where that is factually, and I'll be quiet.
I don't really understand the question because Israel is smack dab in the middle
you're still
of the
not listening.
Of Palestine.
Give me the no. Forget it. Don't say Israel out your mouth. Forget that. Forget Israel never existed. Forget that. Listen to my question.
Okay.
Point in here. You made a fact truthful statement that the land that we're all talking about now, it was for the Palestine people. Now, that means
right.
You're telling me in history that you can point to a group of people that was called, you can point to a group's culture and their names, and they say they call themselves Palestinians, and they were at that line. Point it to me in history. That's my question.
So in other words, you want to know the geographical name.
Because he said that land right there that we're talking about belongs to Palestine, and he said historically, and I said, point to me out, Palestine, they label themselves, put out their culture, and point out the geographic location. I want to learn. I'll be quiet. I'll meet myself.
Oh, Lord. This guy.
Okay, well, Benny said 1948.
Okay, the Balfour Declaration was 47. It became official in 48. I mean, 1 year, give or take. Mm-hmm. Fine. Prior to that, the region was Palestine.
The question I would like to know is where did those people come from that they put on that land, on those borders? Where did they come from?
The Palestinian people themselves?
No, not the Palestinian people, the people that's on the land now.
Israelites. What's considered the Jewish people?
Yes. What did they
those are them? Those are the Khazars. They're from Kazakhstan.
Okay.
That's That's the middle part of Asia. They migrated from there. They migrated into Germany, and most of them were in Russia.
Listen, I want to say something. Benny,
those
you put 1948 up there.
Those are the people that Hitler supposedly had something to do with Hitler and them.
Right.
So they came from Russia, where Putin is, and Putin, am I right? Am I wrong?
Hold on a second. The Khazars, which was, I don't even think Kazakhstan is even part of the map anymore. They reconfigured the whole European.
They reconfigured and renamed the whole lot of stuff.
Yeah, to confuse people.
But Palestine, the name has never been changed. It's always been
Palestine.
Yeah, always
been
will
the same.
Be in Palestine. And the Palestinian people. But the people that's on those borders now came from Russia. Where is the Holocaust?
The Holocaust was in Germany.
Yeah. So those people was put there on the border. So that is not their original home.
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's not. Okay. Khazaria. That is between Hungary, Persia, and basically it's going across the Caucasus Mountains. So in that area, you got places like Armenia, you got the Black Sea, and below it, going directly south, you end up in Iraq, Baghdad, if you go south of Khazaria. So Khazaria technically is above Iraq, and you are correct because it's very near Germany, the Khazar kingdom of the early 10th century. Okay, it's surrounded by Bulgaria, Rome, Hungary, Persia, I'm sorry, and what would be known as modern-day Germany to the west.
Okay, Benny said...
And they relocated the people. They relocated them.
Okay, Benny said in the chat room that Israel officially became a nation in 1948.
Right. And that was after World War II. So all of the Jews, well, what we consider Jews now, which were actually the Khazars, were relocated to that specific area, the ones that survived.
But see, I understand what you're talking about.
Why did Israel become a state, though? Why did it become that?
Go ahead, Michael.
I was saying, why did Israel become a state in 1948 or 47, which one it was?
I think because the UN told them, gave them that license.
Okay, that's like the only state in the Middle East, right?
That's the only state outside of the United States in the world.
Besides the Vatican.
Right,
that's
exactly.
So weird.
Exactly, besides the Vatican, you're right.
And as we can clearly see, Christian ideology, see, separate states, they call it to do with the state of Israel, it's called a state. State means you're separate. When you hear the word state, that means entity. That means it wants to stand alone. That's why we have the United States. But the states are divided. They have individual states.
I thought they called it the 47 borders. I didn't remember calling it a state.
What, Israel?
That's just another term now.
The 47 borders.
You're talking about Israel, man?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Israel is referred to as a state, the state of Israel.
Okay, the state of Israel. And the reason why you and all of this stuff that you see going on now, is because where Israel is, and it has always been there since the time they put them on those borders, and they pay those other countries in order to keep peace amongst them, because if they all got together and clapped together, what do you think Israel would be?
Oh, it'd be different. It'd be much different.
Right, and you have to realize mankind has been separating the land since World War I. Mankind separates the land. Mankind puts the division, the lines. It's all an illusion because there's no lines. But I want to go back. I don't think y'all keep on putting these when the state was up 1948. No. These people are going to a war of ancient times. You got to go way back in history. That's why they're fighting over that land. That's why they were geographically located like that, or whatever year. That 1948 stuff, that's hobbish. I understand all of that.
Well, nobody
but why
was
they fighting in 1948?
Nobody
that's
was
the reason. That's the reason. Why were they fighting before that? That's the reason why they caused that. That's the reason why they have the line.
Technically, Mike, these people were not fighting before that. No, they weren't.
What do you mean they weren't fighting?
So-called
the people who believe in the Torah. Look, I put it like this. I know since the ancient times of Muhammad when he first started Islam. When the Torah, I'm not going to put no pronunciation on it. The people who studied the Torah and Muhammad's people with the Quran, they went to war. They've been going to war, and they've been fighting over land, sir, even before 1948. So I don't even look at that. That 1948,
it's rubbish to me.
It's not the same people.
It's not the same people. I'm not disputing what you're saying. It's not the same people fighting each other. You guys, go back to the Crusades. What do you think
okay,
that was all
about? Okay, but listen, sir.
That was Islam, the Crusades, which was in 1000?
Forget how they look. Well, I'm talking about the ideology is the same. Fuck, I know for a fact, all facts is they're fighting over a religious ideology. The religious ideology says in their books that they're supposed to have certain types of lands in their books, and they're fighting it over. Now, you want to come and say, well, Mike, the people that studied the Torah or quote unquote Jews or Israelite, they don't have their skin. I don't care about that. You can fuss about it all you want. I'm talking about the ideology and the religious thing is still there, and that's the foundation of it all. Now be quiet.
Give you $5 if you don't.
Joe, N2K put a question in the chat room, which is really interesting. How can you have a nation within a nation?
I'll tell you one thing to answer that, and I'll bet you very few people know about this. There is an actual nation located within the United States. I'm not talking about Indian reservation. There is an actual sovereign nation.
Oh, I know what it is.
Yeah, I think it may be in the state of Colorado or Wyoming. It's an actual nation recognized by the United Nations, recognized by the United States government. So you can have a nation within a nation.
And you don't know what nation that is, Joe?
And I think it starts with an M. You can Google it, the nation within the United States of America, the sovereign state within the United States of America, something like that. It's something like it has like 10,000 people, maybe. It's an actual nation with its own borders. That's something very, very few people know.
And it's not D.C.?
No. And it's not an Indian reservation. It's a nation all by itself.
Hawaii.
No, Hawaii, yeah.
Are you speaking of the United Nations?
No. I'm not talking about an embassy. I'm talking about a real geographical nation recognized by the United Nations, recognized by the United States government as being its own country within the borders of the United States of America.
Hey.
Now, what I'm looking at is the nation within. They have the history of the American occupation of Hawaii. That's the reason why I said Hawaii.
No. Hawaii is not part of the contiguous states.
Okay.
This is
what I think Hawaii was like the last or next to the last to be admitted.
Yeah.
Okay, a tribal sovereignty in the United States.
Well, I'm sure it's close to that. It's, I think it starts with an M. It sounds like an Indian name, but it's,
Is it the Wichita?
No. I'm not talking about any tribes that were here before, you know, the settlers came.
But on the nations that was in the nation, because their nation was here before the United States became.
I'm not talking about
it took over from
the
them.
Indians.
So that is a nation within a nation.
Oh, amazing, Michael, you ought to get married.
Joe, you need to find someone to marry.
I wish
I am already
did.
Married, so I don't need two men. That's
I
against
did.
The law.
I wish I did. It is.
I'm looking for it, Joe, but I can't find it. The closest thing I can find is like townships, and I know that's not what you're talking about.
Ah, it's a complete nation. It's a very, very small nation. It's like the size of a thumb, relatively speaking. But it's an.
And who's supposed to create? Who supposed to create it?
Who do I think created it?
No, I asked you who supposedly created this nation that you were talking about within a nation.
Who supposedly created it? I guess they did.
They who?
The people of this nation.
Yeah.
Is it a part of Turtle Island?
I don't think so. But okay. You have to Google the keywords, and I guess the country within the United States, nation within the United States, sovereign nation, sovereign
yeah,
state.
Yeah, I did
within
nation within the United States, and this is what I'm looking up.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
And I might be wrong about the first initial. It might not be an M, but I think it's an M because that's what comes.
Well, if you don't know, you might be. Don't. It's not a might be meaning that you don't know either. We giving something just throwing out bricks.
Okay, Mace.
Is it an Indian tribe?
No.
So it's not an Indian territory.
No.
So it's not the Menominee tribe versus the United States?
Check that out, because it starts with an N.
Okay, that's an Indian tribe, though.
Okay, well, if it is, then, you know, if it's a separate nation, then, okay, it might be an Indian tribe.
Okay.
What I'm showing is the Lakota.
No, it's not the Lakotas. No.
Okay.
I'm not sure. If this is it, I'll put the link in the chat room. And
I got away from my PC. I turned it off. Otherwise, I would have gone and looked it up again.
Oh, so, Joe, you just want everybody to work for you.
Antoinette, don't you have more coffee you want to drink?
Yeah, that means I'd have to go and put it on, Joe.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I had someone on hold for almost 5 minutes. Please forgive me. Listen, yeah, we have 10 minutes left. If you want to go over in the overtime, then we can. The number is just a moment.
508.
I'm just gonna put it in the chat room. Okay.
9813.
Thank you.
Where's Ron at? He took off today.
He had something that he had to take care of. He was only supposed to be 15, 20 minutes late, but it seems as if he's missed his show.
He sure does.
But what I don't understand is why do we keep having the same conversation over and over and over again?
I think it's
what is it accomplishing?
Training.
Oh, it's training.
It's training for the mind to I guess, understand and you know, kind of, and you know, print that this is really a problem. And then I think the next phase is people getting their act together, I mean, in small ways, because we can't do, you know, I mean, if we had some finances and power and things of that nature, I think things will be able, like, you know, it'll be easier in the sense of us having this discussion with all these intellectual minds on this radio and then going to the next move, like having a plan and all that. But, you know, it really breaks down to, you know, what is your individual situation, you know, and what's your finances and the people around you and things of that nature. So, I mean,
what does that got to do with the Middle East?
Well, can I address NTA Quay questions, Antoinette? He said, how can you have a nation within a nation if our Bronx Squad is not finished, though?
No, no, go ahead, brother. You know what? It caught me. She was. I thought she was talking about the discussions we have in general on the shows every day.
No,
but go ahead.
No.
With the Syria thing, you can continue. But, Mike, I'll jump in after.
Yeah, I mean, again, if y'all want to continue with this conversation, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, all facts. You have to call in because we have less than 8 minutes left. So it's like 7 minutes and some seconds to call in. And I put the number in the chat room for you if you wish to go over. And I'm sorry, all facts, please continue. I'm really sorry. Forgive me, dear.
Oh, interesting question that N2K posed. Very interesting question. How can you have a nation within a nation? Can't. Now take that same philosophy and move it on over the Atlantic Ocean and come on over here. Same thing. How can you either be the United States, but when the states are divided?
They're ununited.
It can't. That's why we're in chaos and confusion.
Just
so
like
when we look over there, we have to look over here. When we look over here, we got to look over there. We're all the same, man. Now, let's go back to one Scott's question. He says, how are we going to get it together? I know everybody has their own individual basis, but if I need to take care of my personal needs, I guarantee you I'm going to have someone help me out. I may go here, I may go there, I may, well, my coworker may help me out, I may, his classmate may help me out, my kids may help me out, I may help them out. All of us work together, that's the problem, but no. You have people who think that they need to go back into different philosophies and ideologies, division. The forefathers' ideology, the vision, I want more, you know. I don't believe in this capitalism, socialism, all of them are philosophy. We need to come up with an order of a structure. Now, do I know the way? I can't sit up here on the phone and tell you the way. No. All of us have to give our feedback and what we need to do. But
Stop studying war, and the world will change, because people sit down every day and get paid to study war and how to plan and strategize on wars like it has been since this country was formed.
War don't make money no more. War don't pump up the economy. I challenge anybody. See, when you hear
I know that.
I'm just speaking in general, Mace. I'm not attacking you. But listen, when you hear people say this statement, they always make this statement. They need to cause a war so it can make money and pump up the economy and stuff. Well, listen,
right now,
no.
It's destroying the economy.
Listen, in the last 10 years, we've been at war. What has our economy done? So that
we've
philosophy.
Been losing.
I told you economics is a theory, so if anybody ever says that again, you need to question them and say, look at the facts now.
That's not what
I'm
saying.
And machines make the bullets. People don't make the bullets like we used to do back in
people
World
create,
War I. So people don't get back to work as much as we used
create, to. People create a disarray amongst other people to go and take their property away from them and have them fighting over something that don't belong to the people that have them doing it in the first place.
Well, like Israel or Palestine?
The whole world.
Right.
That's what's wrong with it.
But that's what this country and every country in the world, like what he said, I think, a few days ago, was that's how all these nations was started. I mean, you know, one side trying to rule the other and taking over, conquering, displacing people, you know, pushing them outer and outer, you know, and just somebody like, with corruption and force, or moving people out of places that maybe they were there before you, but yet, you know, they feel that they should come in and take, instead of at least, you know, not even at least, but somewhere where everybody could live, like they say, peaceful together, but yet it's not like that. It's about now I take property, I own property, and even here, one of the biggest places where you come here and you really don't own no land, literally. You know, you buy a piece of land, but yet you still paying property taxes. If you stop paying property taxes, they'll seize it from you. If you buy a house, you pay for the house, but yet you don't own the land. You know, and what happens? You don't pay, they take it away. You know, so, I mean, well, you know, this is a thing that goes on, like you said, it is a worldwide problem because it's about greed and overpowering people. You know, the guy that has less than you, the guy that has less than you, whether it's financial or power-wise, you know, by force or less than you mental. You know, you might have more smarts than the next guy, so, you know, they take advantage of that. You know the laws and you know how to manipulate. And the guy that's working the honest way, you know, he ends up paying the end of it. So that's exactly right. We got to make a change on the thought process. It's just sad, though, the people, most of the people that have all the good things in life, they don't know how to act in a sense of, you know.
Well, some of the people that have the good things in life are not happy, and the ones that you think don't have the good things in life are happy as can be.
Right. No, I'm not.
It all depends on where you have your value system.
I mean, you still got to have, I mean, you know, you can have all the money in the world. Like I said, if you don't have no real foundation, family, you know, love and things of that nature, which is the basic things. I mean, you can have all the money in the world. You ain't going to, you don't have that. You can't buy that, you know. You could buy fake love. You could buy fake friends, you know.
Are you going to buy a ticket to the Yankees?
Hell,
Joe, not a ticket. He's got to get two tickets.
Two tickets.
Yeah, for a lady and myself.
And but yourself.
But I'm not going to Yankee Stadium. Yankee Stadium, listen, when they rebuilt Yankee Stadium in the Bronx, right across the street, the tickets went sky high. The average person that lives in the Bronx, Harlem, Brooklyn, Queens area does not, cannot go to the Yankees game unless they save up for a while. Most of the people, majority that come are from the suburbs, out of state, people that got money. Because that's a ridiculous thing. But that's another subject. Yankee Stadium.
It's just like the politicians move from one state to another and run, and was never born
and
there.
The thing
just
is that,
planet there.
Like
excuse
this is
me for one second, y'all, please. You have less than 60 seconds if you want to call in and
The
number is 718-508-9813. Again, that number is 718-508-9813 if you want to go for another hour.
On the Ron Rex Show.
Okay, I'm sorry for interfering, interrupting whoever I interrupted.
No problem. Look, when they built, just real quick, when they built the Yankee Stadium, which they didn't need to, you know, because they could have rebuilt it. I mean, they took a lot of land from the people. The neighborhood, they fixed up some of the neighborhood, but now the rents are higher. And I mean, the ones that are really benefiting are not out New Yorkers, financially, you know, set people that can go and purchase $100 tickets, you know, and rent out booths and things of that nature, and eat expensive food in the restaurant. So. Who does benefit?
Does that remind you of? Do you remember in the movie? See, y'all, I do watch some movies. The movie Head of State, where Chris Rock, when he was giving his campaign speech, and he said, "How many of y'all work at, you know, different motels, but you can't afford to stay there?"
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but see, I gotta realize, see. You're right about the corporations benefiting from that, but I have to also, I told you, never blame one side. People give too much emphasis on that entertainment, that baseball. They allow that to happen.
Right.
Get that pull from them
right.
City delegates,
right.
That board, that city, them board members in that, them
right.
City delegates had to pad that zone for them to take that property.
That's right.
See, we give too much emphasis to the Yankees.
Oh,
right.
Excuse me.
Spot a little
yes,
bit.
Sam.
Excuse me. Hello.
Yeah,
you're
late.
Yeah. Close to water, man. Damn.
No,
excuse me, y'all. Can y'all please
how
let
you
Ron,
doing, Ron?
Let me discipline Ron for a moment.
Ron, record
15 minutes is not 2 hours.
I know, man, but look.
Ron, record your fire.
That's cool. I'm going to my long-term unemployment draw.
I was in White Castle's eating.
Joe left. Joe, you still here?
I'm here.
Hey, Joe's sitting at, Ron's sitting at the bar with us now, Joe.
That's right.
You was doing a good
job,
Ron.
My food got cold. I didn't get to eat. My coffee is cold.
All because of Ron Reck.
That made her. He's on
here.
Made, oh, sweetheart, I'm so glad to hear your voice. I love having you on. I thought she was doing a good job. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't.
Girl, that is my girl. That will be
It's funny you said that you didn't. That's funny. And I didn't.
I mean, I saw the last minute of the wire, man. I couldn't get it. I was not going to get chat room or in or nothing.
What are you not wiring the internet?
Nah.
Let's play how this goes tonight. And guess what? I can rebook the show at midnight.
That's Wisconsin.
I can go back on again at midnight.
Okay, good.
I'm sorry, honey. I missed so much tonight. I'm so sorry. Thank
Hang
you
it
so
out.
Much.
Yeah, plus you kicked me out of the chat room.
I did?
Yeah.
Hang it out, Ron. For number three, yo.
Yeah, what's up?
What's up,
baby? I'm sorry, y'all. I can't see anything in the chat room, but I can. Well, y'all don't need me for the phone lines anymore, so.
Yeah, I'm going to fuck out. I don't have the board.
No, that's what
no,
I
No, I still have the
yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I have
the switchboard
and stuff like that, but I'm not in the chat room.
Hey Joe,
yeah.
Ron put the link in. It's the Mena Mini Tribe. I think it's in
I put that in.
Oh, okay,
that was
bad.
Me.
It's not
you know
I think that is no, I think it's either in Wisconsin. I think it's in Wisconsin.
It may be.
Oh.
Either with
so
either Wisconsin
it.
Or upper it looks like it's Wisconsin.
Okay, because
it
says
is
Wisconsin.
Is it an independent nation or is it just a reservation?
Yes.
I think it's the I think it's an independent nation, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And it's Indians? All righty. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, I thought it was an Indian tribe. You know, I figured if it was going to be, it was going to be an Indian tribe.
Mm.
10 million acres.
10 million acres?
The tribe lived in the states of Wisconsin and Michigan for at least 10,000 years.
See, fellas, so a nation can live independently within another nation. It all depends upon, of course.
Well, wait a minute. How can you say an Asian can live independently? You forgot who was here first.
Thank you. I said the nation.
That Asian paying taxes, he's not
first.
Living independently.
He knows.
Is he being protected by the military? Where he living at? In these borders, United States? He's not independent.
Well, I mean, why should he be? Why
it's an
should
illusion
he
to say we're independent. It's a falsehood.
But you got to remember, whose land was it to begin with?
I agree with that.
It's
not a brown man.
So-called brown man and red man.
What we're talking about now.
No, a copper-colored man.
Columbus
said so many copper-colored people.
Land, oh,
okay,
so
answer that. Let's say everybody
with
the Indians
Wait a minute,
let
me finish your statement, please,
it's
Mike.
It's the Native Americans' land, and if you're Native American, it's your land, too. Some
okay, but listen,
land.
Let's say all people that's not Native American, descended from here, leave this country.
Yes.
And everybody goes back to their native roots.
Well, some people wouldn't know where to go back to.
It does it right. So the native people had to do it right. Other than that, if we're not going to do that, right, we have to say, listen, we have to look at the now, present time, and move forward, and say, listen, we have to. But some people want to go back and say, and back in the time we did things right, like the Tea Party. They want to go back to old times. It's a call. Arguing over the Constitution. We still shouldn't be arguing over the same shit over and over again. Like you said earlier, Antoinette, why are we still arguing over voting laws? It's crazy.
Yeah,
crazy.
Well, everybody should do that.
Everybody should have the
some
same
Some things should
right.
be written, and it should be why we keep on going back and forth. Things should be clear.
Because human beings don't operate that way.
Thank you.
No,
that's
listen.
Why?
No, listen, hold up.
And that's a fact.
I say this. Okay, you say finite. I say hold up. Some things can be finite. Like we can measure some things.
I never
things.
Said finite.
Listen,
finite.
Why
finite.
Can't we come up with a system across this nation to make sure everybody vote, put it in writing, and we never argue it over again?
Because
Hold up. These are the educated. These are not the people that's running these countries with the saggy pants. These are not the uneducated people like this Jan Till that was on that stage that people laughed at. You're telling me that we, all these scholars from Harvard, Yale, got all this terminology. They know how to write bills and all that. They wrote the Constitution. They can study all that. They can't come up and write a two paragraph to make sure everybody, no matter what, a fair system that makes sure everybody has a right to cast their ballot and vote. And you say we can't do that as human beings.
I never told you that. Some things don't have to evolve.
Is duh.
Mike, people don't operate that way, unfortunately. I'm not saying anything you're saying is wrong, but you like to look at the facts. Let's look at the facts. How long have human beings been fighting each other over a plot of land, some type of material possession, or the fact that they feel better than another group of people? Let's put it in the facts. How long has this been going on? How long has this been going on, Mike?
Thousands upon thousands since ancient times, since I recorded this.
Now, what does that tell us?
I agree.
What does that tell us?
What do you mean that would tell us? That's where we come from. That's what we derive from chaos. Now, I'm saying,
old habits are hard to break.
No.
I understand, but listen, having said that, you made that statement. I say I agree with you. You're speaking all facts. And I ask you, what are you going to do about it? Now, it's up to you.
The same thing you're going to do.
I'm not going to give you no instructions, bro. What I'm telling you is...
But you want everybody to live peacefully, but you're not going to share anything? That's a contradiction.
You mean, of course I'm sharing. What do you mean I'm not sharing?
Because you might say something that means something to somebody who's listening. Don't assume that it's not that way.
Okay, the only thing I can tell them is
give some instructions, Mike.
Look, put it like this. I told you before. It's like I tell you it's raining outside. You see it's raining outside, and it's up to you whether you want to carry your umbrella. I'm not going to tell you to carry your umbrella. That's all.
But that's where me and you are different. Because if I say it's raining outside, I'm going to say, Mike, make sure you have your umbrella because it's raining outside.
No. Oh, listen to me. I'm going to tell you this how I am.
Rain outside.
If you want to run to your car with an umbrella or you want to run to your car with no umbrella, that's your choice. Mike is not going to sit up here and demand you go here and do it. Now, it's up to you. But you have to get to your car. So you just got to get to your car. That's all, bro. You're trying to force something on somebody. That's the problem.
Don't be with umbrellas and rain. Hello?
Okay, uh-huh. Mike. We're gonna live in your utopian world from here on out. How's that? Let's see how that works.
We'll handle this later. Another time, okay? Another time.
What? We're in overtime. We got plenty of time.
No, go ahead, man. I don't want to hog it up. Somebody else say something.
Okay. Yeah. Somebody else say something.
I want to fight.
I'm following that guy.
And what is a fight over? An umbrella in the rain.
I want to battle. Can I battle somebody?
Here's the thing, Mike will expound on all these things,
but when you ask him stuff, he defers. First he wants to be proactive, and then he'll defer. Well, I'm not going to tell you anything.
You're not understanding. A lot of people don't understand.
Excuse me. I am so sorry, 205, that I had you on hold. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. I did not see you.
All right. So we have a new caller, 205.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And I had them on hold for the longest time. I did not see them. I am truly sorry. Please forgive me.
Okay, Antoine. You forgive me.
They're probably just listening to the chaos.
Thank you, Joe, but it wasn't you I had on hold.
But you had me on hold for a while, too, so you're forgiven for that.
Owen, I'm sorry to you too. Please forgive
and
me.
And I'm forgiving you because
Thank
the
you.
Switchboard wasn't working.
No, it was working. I just wasn't paying attention. I don't
oh, then
know.
I'm not forgiving you for that shit. That crap.
Look, Joe, it's been years since I've done this, okay?
Oh, yeah. I'm just a woman. I can't do it.
I didn't say because
alone,
I was
Joe.
A woman. Now, don't get it twisted.
Okay.
Leave Antoinette alone, Joe.
Mace, leave Joe
leave
alone.
Leave her alone.
Do y'all mind if I drink and drive right now?
Yes.
No.
Is that what
oh,
you
not
nice.
Drink and drive.
Oh. Nice segue. Nice segue.
Yeah.
Do we mind if you drink and drive? No, we don't.
No.
Drink and drive.
Your life and
it depends
save your
on
own.
If you're drinking. If you're drinking some coffee to stay awake, sure.
No, it's not alcohol.
Right.
Yeah, it's Coors Light.
No.
And no matter
not
what
alcohol.
It is, we can't
you
do
know
nothing right. about it anyway.
I'll report you.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We're going to call him Michael Hood from wherever he's from. He's drinking and driving somewhere. Now, y'all find him.
I'm from the Arctic.
Well, hey.
Drive towards
go.
The state of
find
Manamito
him.
Or whatever that Indian nation is.
I'm surprised. Coors Light is popular. I don't know why people drink Coors, but it's popular for some reason.
This is the one with the twist-off can, the little 99-cent one with the twist-off can.
Oh, you got,
oh.
That Bud Ice is good.
Okay,
I'd
so y'all know
what
I don't know.
Like
we can
ice.
Talk about coffee.
And yeah,
where is
can.
Ron at?
Wow, y'all switched the subject. Wow.
Yeah,
no,
well, at the end of the day, let nature run its course. It always does.
Yes.
And if you're and if
but
you're here and if you're here us? when the dust settles, if you're still here, then spearhead something that's going to be productive for humanity. If you get caught in the undertow, at least know that you tried to do something. Hell, one or the other.
But where is it going to take us? Yeah, I mean, which we
hey.
Don't know, but you know,
who knows?
Well, who controls
yeah.
it?
You do.
Well,
hell,
that's a good question
don't.
Too.
We do.
We don't. We don't.
See, that's the problem. See, that's the problem.
Well,
see,
how do we?
Hey, Abraham Lincoln will laugh at you.
Why
here's
how
the,
do
here's
we
the
control
thing,
it?
Antoinette. Here's the thing. First
if you
of
don't,
all,
if you
first,
don't, okay.
First of all, we've been involved in a systematic process
problem.
For hundreds and thousands of years. So to
okay, hold on, hold
on.
When you make that statement, so when you know that, hold up. When you make that statement. You just made a factual. You keep on making a factual statement. So if you telling me Mike, it's raining outside when you made that statement. I come to the window and I see it's raining outside. When you say we've been doing this for thousands of years, that's a fact. It's raining outside. We can clearly see that. We can hear it in our history books, middle school, high school, college. You can clearly see it in our history books. Having said that, you say we can't do nothing about it. I say, no, you see that. Why can't you look at that and say, okay, we can? You say we
can. When I said, let me clarify.
Can you?
Okay. When I said that we can't do anything about it, that's in regards to us as a collective entity. Look at us right now. Look at us. As a
okay.
people. As a people. We are probably more fractured. More segregated, not even from a physical standpoint, from a psychological and a mental standpoint.
Curriculum
we are more fractured
curriculum.
And segregated than we've probably been in quite some time.
Exactly. In history, we've been doing the same way. Exactly.
I'm not even going to say in history. I'm just going to say in this point in time that I know of. Let's just keep it present.
No, you
with
know, you know, in history,
going,
no, in the Egyptians when they had the kings
on,
and queens, it was called.
Let's not split hairs, Mike. Let's get to the point. And not split
slaves. Even the Egyptians.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Until we can get to a point where it's not that we all have to think the same, we don't all have to be the same, but we have to have a collective consciousness, and this has to include. More than 50% of the population, which we are not even close to.
Okay, so,
only
so why
then,
can't we start with that statement
oh,
that you said?
Mike.
Yeah, that
round three.
Only then Only then can we move forward to actually make a change that is going to be substantial. As long as this society has a segment of the population concerned about material things, has a section of the population arguing over whose religion is right, whose religion is wrong, has another section of the population who's only concerned about how much wealth that they can hoard, we're going to be in this situation. Bottom line. That's
like
the way
a boxing match. We're going to say every round goes round and round and round. Round four.
Yeah. Oh, so you
Mike,
keep on
you
saying things, say? But where do we start? We start from that factual statement that you
just
said.
I just told you. We
okay, right. So I'm asking you again. So hold up. So according to you, you made that statement from the mountaintop, and you said until. So you said, Mike, I'm telling you, we have to start from, listen, for thousands of years we've been doing it. So once we see that, that can be the starting point, so we can't go back to England. So we can't act like them, right? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's not.
Okay, so if that's not what you're saying, what do you mean? Because if we keep on acting like people in ancient time, the ancient time people were the one that went in the war.
Let me ask a question. Did anybody else understand what I meant by that? Anyone?
Yeah.
Or is Mike the only one that didn't get it?
Yeah.
Oh, I got you. Clearly, you didn't answer my question.
I can't answer your questions, Mike. So, I don't know.
Your solution is that everybody has different cultures. They can't accept different cultures and different religions, right?
So what is the solution to that? No, that's not what I said. We have to have a collective conscience, regardless of your religious difference. Your economic
and what is that?
So what is that? Hold on.
So he's saying, I want to make sure because you challenged me and you said that I didn't understand what you were saying.
I did not challenge you.
No,
you asked me to come up with a solution. Hold on, guys.
You said that you spoke something and I was the only one that didn't understand you. But I want to.
No, I asked if anybody else understood.
Right, but you made a statement that I was the only one that didn't.
Okay.
So let me say, you're saying that everyone can have their different religion, but we all have to come to one a collective thing that holds all of us together, but we can still have our different religions, our different cultures. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
It's called being mature emotionally, mentally, and psychologically.
So you're playing words, see, and then I'm going to ask you what that is, sir, and then what you going to give me a philosophy? I'm going to ask you, so give me that thing that you think that we all should have collectively together that holds us together but would allow us to be different and free amongst each other so we won't go get war and chaos.
Isn't that what the speech was about?
No, he never gave the solution. No, I'm asking him the solution, basically. He never gave the conclusion. No, he didn't. Play the tape back. Don't cut him out.
No, but I'm asking, wasn't that...
For an assessment, he gave you the assessment.
Thank you. Jeez.
No, he
didn't.
Okay. He said it was a collective consciousness. Now you want an example.
And I'm asking you what is collective consciousness. And I'm asking him, give me the label, the collective consciousness. When he said collective consciousness, he's still giving me laws. What, he going to write another 1,000 books about the collective consciousness? I want you right now to educate knowledge. I understand what I'm saying, Joe. I listened to you very well. He accused me of not listening to him, and I didn't understand him. He's saying that we all must come together with this collective knowledge on one. And I'm saying what.
People with different ideological philosophies,
exactly, and I'm saying, what is that?
Etc., could still have at least one common thing in common. For example, the United States, we have 48 contiguous states. If we didn't have 48 contiguous states that were considered the United States of America, would be like South America, where they have Bolivia, Chile, Ecuador, Uruguay, etc. They're not collective states. They're different territories. They're different states. Here we have. From the south, the north, the east, and the west, we're considered Americans, or at least we used to be until the immigration came in, and now Maisel, of course, will step in. What's wrong with immigration? However, That's it, a collective consciousness of people who consider themselves one particular nation, regardless of the different backgrounds, ideologically, philosophically, religiously, and geographically. Am I making myself clear?
Thank you. It's clear to me. I wish I could have
said it. Asking you this question, what
doesn't matter.
Hold on. Listen to me, and I'm going to ask you this. Hold up now. Come on now. Hold up. Don't run from the question. Hold up. No, don't run from the question.
I'm right here.
Come on, man.
Hey, listen. Come on. I'm coming with it now. Okay. Now, you said that you use the United States, so I'm asking you, point to me something that all of us in this country now should hold dear to everybody that ever in the United States now, and we can have all the saggy pants look, we can have all the different cultures together, no one to be a. Tell me one core thing that we should stand by, and we'll be good. I'm listening to you.
Constitution.
Don't vote. That's the number one rule. Do not vote. Everybody stop buying products, man.
Okay.
Fast food, all that shit. Do not vote. When 2016 comes, we need to stop voting at the local level. We need to just stop it all and just find a way that all of us can come together and try to start a new government, because the government we have now is already gone. It's corrupted. It's rotten. We need a new system. We need a new constitution. So we start with no
now,
voting.
Michael.
Is that after it, Mike?
Michael. Okay, I think I got myself muted.
No, you're not.
No, you're not muted.
Oh, okay. Michael, would that not lead to the same problem that they're now facing over in Egypt?
The problem over in Egypt. Okay, I'll let Mike talk. Sorry.
I'm sorry, Joe.
Point.
You can answer all
no,
that.
No, no, no. Michael hasn't put in much today, so Michael can answer.
I mean, that's a good point, but don't we need a change? Don't we need something to make a change? I mean, we could sit here and talk all day, and there's still we are at war with our own country. We don't even know our government
is
war with ourselves, with the American people. So if we just sit here and don't do nothing, we're just going to die for nothing. I'd rather die for trying instead of dying for nothing.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I can say at least I died trying. Shit, without doing nothing, I mean, that's what I think. Don't vote. 2016.
Yeah, so you're making that dash in between your birth and death mean something. Okay,
I'm going to differ with Mike on that. Everybody come together, and we do not vote, man, on no level, man. Everybody come together and say, man, fuck this shit. We know what the hell is going on, and we ain't taking it no more. They want us to riot. They want it to be race wars and everybody fighting against each other. No, we don't do none of that shit. We come together as one damn nation and stand up to this tyranny that we're fighting right now. It's time to do it now.
Yeah.
No,
believe it or not, there are people just like you and me, believe it or not.
But then you know you got people that's brainwashed. I ain't want to hear that shit. I'm going to fuck.
They from aliens. They from outer space. They lizards and all that type of stuff.
That's another topic, man. That's another 6 month show. I'll take 6 months to talk that shit.
Oh no! I mean, you'll be shocked that these people poop and shit and stuff just like me and you. They just have mental mind. They just in power. They're corrupt, they have money, they're biased, and then groups and cliques come from colleges and stuff like that. People hook up and all that type of stuff, and that's what it is. But they're people just like you and me, and we're in control of them. See,
we are, huh?
I will never listen. I don't know much about Abraham Lincoln, but when he was talking about the people who had the power and all that type of stuff, that philosophy, that's a fact. You can't separate. We are responsible for this stuff. As they are all
collectively. I agree with to a degree. But the thing is that we've been brainwashed. Don't forget, okay? The powers that be came in here hundreds of years ago, took over the country, if you want to believe that. You know, some people do, some people don't. And as a result, took over public education, which then brainwashed us. So people believe that the government is supposed to be their friend. The government can hardly do anything that's wrong. They don't even know the history, the true history of the United States. And as a matter of fact, somebody was telling me just the other day that starting this September, that grade kids are not going to be taught history prior to 1865. Now, how the fuck are you going to learn about your country if you're not going to learn about history prior to 1865?
Well, you know, Joe...
How can they say that when the Constitution was still in... I'm sorry, go ahead, Antoinette. I would like to respond on that.
Okay, well, go ahead, honey. Go ahead.
No, Antoinette, I didn't mean to cut you off. I didn't know you was going to speak. Go ahead.
No, well, what I was going to say was, Joe, I know that they did have something going where they wanted to take slavery out of the textbooks and no longer have it be taught so it can take away the white guilt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that was their reasoning for it.
Okay, now that goes beyond that. I'm talking about what's supposed to be called Common Core curriculum, where they're not going to
there you go.
And where they're not going to teach prior to 1865. I don't know how that's possible, so I'm eagerly looking.
Well, then that would mean that they wouldn't have slavery in there.
And they wouldn't have the Constitution like Mike's talking about, so I don't understand how they're going to have it.
Right, you know, so...
But
didn't they also say that they're trying to get rid of the Constitution anyway? So I guess, you know, you don't have any right to, you know.
Yeah, so I'd be eager to take a look at the history books that are going to come out this September so I can see just how much of our particular history, even though it was probably written skewed towards lies anyway, I would want to know how it's written now. And I'll tell you one thing. I have a history book, a world history book, published in 1955. It admits
You need to put that up for gold.
Oh, please, I've got it. admits the United States of America was an imperialistic nation. It admits it.
Wow.
And it's written in the United States.
Yeah,
because
they were more open to telling the truth.
Yeah.
Does it tell you that Columbus said he found copper-colored meat, you know, human beings? You've never seen so much copper.
I haven't read that. I haven't read that in there. It's a world history book. I wish it was an American book.
Well, you use the word curriculum, which is the key. That's why I have a show on curriculum. See, it's very important. See, we were playing around, and that's why I was telling you, Joe, curriculum is everywhere, and what y'all are discussing is people are trying to change the curriculum, which changes the minds. See, how can you ever... I don't care, 1,000, 10,000 years from now, the history books will have to be talking about the Egyptians. Have to be. How can you ever start about how this nation was founded? And but who is control of that? All schools in the nation is not going to do that. It's a particular group in the United States of America, a particular community. Because the community has the power of that curriculum. Many introduced affected, but the more people that's involved, they may have teachers or the community meetings may get together, and they can change the history books. They can change the curriculum. Those kids are going to grow up with a totally different curriculum of history than someone else has. When they grow up, when they mingle with each other, they're going to have different philosophies and ideologies. In the black community, it's been many years they've been saying that, like Antoinette said, they've been taking slavery out of the books. They're not teaching our kids more the African-American history in our classes. We've argued over that about in our communities ever since. But in actuality, the parents are in control of it. If they stick up with the parents-teachers meeting, the teachers, senators, the board members, but the community within itself can teach it. You can have one school district have it, because guess what? It all goes on what the book and different authors come with philosophies.
I would think that the curriculum has to be approved by the accrediting association, which is run by, the state agencies, which is corrupted because they are taking money from the federal government. So the federal government actually runs the United States. Not supposed to be that way, but because of the loans that they've made, that's the way it is.
No, I have to stop your challenge, sir. No. He said, I'm tired of this. You guys keep on faith. Listen, we are the government. Let me prove to you. I had a show. I had played two clips, brother, on this. People are arguing in their community in Tennessee, a group of people, are arguing over that. Their history book, their world history book, is talking about Islam in a certain way. They're talking about their downgrading Christianity, the purge Reddit. I have another clip where people are saying that the way they're talking about United States had responsibility to doing something with 9/11. And the parents, seeing that, and they took that damn textbook out of that damn a curriculum school, sir. And I'm letting you know, if people, you're right, if people can, it, because the community member, you got to see if the community mm-hmm. has your same philosophy.
Okay.
So I understand you say the state, but locally, listen, well, the curriculum is screwed up and corrupts because so many mm-hmm. interest groups have an impact on the curriculum that the kids are being taught, and they're confused. Okay. No wonder when we grow up as adults, we're fussing and arguing because we have too many different curriculums about history and all this type of shit.
Mm.
Well, Mike, I know you're right about that. From when I was in school, and Joe,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how you may see this, but I went to an all-white school, upper league, all-white school. And honestly and truly, what I learned was, when it came to black history, was we were slaves, Abraham Lincoln freed us, and then we jumped right to Martin Luther King.
Right.
And that was it. That was the extent of it.
Right.
You know, so
Black Wall Street. Why did I learn about Black Wall Street out of school? And listen.
Yeah, I learned about that when
I have
I
no higher learning
in the last couple
in
of
history.
Years.
Why are you taking history in college? You know, you should learn all your history about mankind to our children early. What you only thing you got to do is tell them once, and it's in their head. You don't have to keep going back and forth, and we can get on to trades and other things. But you got to keep telling them about, you know, man, you don't have to keep on telling them about history over and over and over again. They got it.
Yeah, but then, now, all facts, I have a question to ask you. Now, I know when I was in school, we were taught world history extensively. Now, I don't know if you went to, you know, all black schools or if anybody else here, you know, but how was the curriculum as far as world history when you were in school and to what your children get now if you still have children in school?
Dumb as hell.
Thank you, Michael. No, but do y'all have world history? I mean, I truly don't know.
So, as you were saying, people are debating about the world history books. Because when your child goes into the world history books, that book, listen, those people judge that curriculum. And when they look at history, the words and terminology that they may give light to Muslims, Christians, or other type of things that they're teaching your child, that the parent on a public school level is very controversial. Because when they go home, you get curriculum from home, you get curriculum from church, you get curriculum from TV. Everybody is trying to put all of their different curriculums in your head. That's why I try to stay with the facts, because a lot of those curriculums are theory and ideology that separate us and divide us. And our children are growing up all confused, and they fight when we get an adult.
Mike, do we have a chance to rewrite history? Can any of us rewrite history?
Excuse me, I'm sorry, y'all.
What are you doing, Antoinette? Just go ahead and laugh. I hear you.
What are you doing?
No, honey, I was sneezing.
Oh, I thought you was laughing.
No, honey, I was sneezing. See, I'm fresh.
Bless your heart.
Oh, that
can we
feel
see
well.
To the
so
future?
Me.
Can we see ourselves in the future? Do we even see us as a country in the future?
I don't.
I
don't.
I don't either. I see it like 10 years left.
Excuse me again.
Well,
Joe's not getting married neither, guys.
Go back. Go
so what's
back
that
to
got to do with the country in 10 years?
Go
you don't care. You know, you're pessimistic.
Where are we
going to
be
I mean, you believe you don't control it. I don't understand us, guys. Well, okay, if you believe
we
it, well, what are we doing
we
if we're not on this show?
No, we used to control the system, but we don't have it no more. It's gone. They took that shit away.
What do you mean? What do you mean? If listen, how can you have your revolution when you don't think the people can control?
That's
your
why
chaos
you have
right
a revolution.
Now.
Because
you're
you
going
don't
into your revolution wrong, Michael Hood. Philosophy wrong. What are you talking about?
What do you mean?
You mean?
What are you talking about? What is all this big talk, man? You got to tell me in layman terms, man.
I am telling you. What do you mean big talk? Listen, hold up. No, I don't listen. I tell you in layman terms. You telling me that the people don't take control, but then you want to have a revolution. A revolution says the people have control.
Now, Revolution says they don't have control. If they had control, they wouldn't need
it. No. Oh, my goodness. Listen. Okay. When the French had the revolution, who took up the people? Look, not the people that had the rich landowners and all the churches and all those stuff, the money. The people, the peasants took over control. The masses. The masses is the people. The corporation is not the masses. The corporation needs the masses. In actuality, you're a fool if you don't think the masses have control. The masses is blind because they don't think they have control. Just listen to yourself.
You're right, Mike.
You don't have control.
I'll talk about it.
If you wake up and know that you don't have control,
right,
then you can do
whatever
something.
Whatever you say.
You got to wake up and know that you don't have control. You're not in control. You don't own shit. You don't have nothing. So wake up now and know that I'm not in control. Yeah, you can control your life. You want to drink, smoke, whatever, the simple shit. But
don't
you
they need you.
And running like most
they need you for that shit.
You can't do none of that shit.
Hold on, listen. If they listen, hold on, for listen.
Why can't
you
let them
come along and tell me, Mike? You say, Mike, they're controlling you and they have a plan to destroy you. So you come along and you wake me up. And you come along and say, hey, but you don't have no control. And I say, what do you mean? Why are you coming and telling me this then? You want me to wake up and have control.
I'll be quiet.
Shut the fuck up. We're at the bar. I'm sorry, Antoinette. We're at the bar. I'm sorry.
I'll be good.
Enjoy at the bar. Some serious shit.
I'll be good.
It's too easy, man. It's just too easy.
America, oh America.
See, I'm not going to be personal, but I may have grandkids and stuff in the future. I don't want the future to be bleak. Some people in the world, they just have themselves to worry about. They don't have nothing, and they just say, it's going to be shit, and they're going to sit back and just, like, it may not be televised. I guess they're just going to be sitting there long and watching everybody go to waste, the whole world. You can run to all countries, but if the United States collapsed, where are you going to go to? If the United States collapsed, what country is the United States of
China
America collapsed? What country you going to go to, bro?
Don't ask me the question.
You better have a fucking spaceship and get the fuck away from this earth. That's what you better have.
Rocket ship? Exactly. That's what I said. Now, I agree with that, Michael Hood. Get the hell off this planet, this country go around.
Go to another galaxy.
That's what I say. I speak theory now.
Oh, now. Huh. Okay.
Not later. Not before. Now.
But prior
to
that, it was...
About the debt, didn't they say something about in October that Congress got to go back for the debt ceiling or something, and they got to make sure something that they're going to make the debt ceiling higher or something in October?
It's probably the same annual bullshit. You know, they're going to have this smoke and screens bullshit about...
Out of fiscal year.
Yeah, about whether or not they're going to raise the debt ceiling. Yeah, and they always raise it.
I mean, how far can you raise it? I mean, I heard an article the other day that we're $70 trillion in debt.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so
more than that, I mean, when you take into consideration the derivatives, all you need is just a perception of something going wrong in the stock market, the commodities market, or with Egypt or Syria. All you need are these talking heads like Chris Matthews and the rest of the other dickheads that say, oh, my God, look at what's happening here. Have you noticed? Okay, most of the time in history... I don't know about most of the time, but in history, if a country has its ambassador killed, that country goes to war. We've never even talked about going to war. Why? Because the media kept a lid on it. If the neocons and the other dickheads, if they wanted war, they would have banged the drums about, they killed Stevens and Benghazi, we got to go to war. But they put a lid on it.
Well,
all they need is just a perception, the United States news, about some sort of financial calamity, some sort of natural calamity. Like, for example, they haven't even talked that much about the 40 fires out there in the southwest. If they talk about how it's going to come closer to San Francisco or Los Angeles or something like that, forget about it. Everybody start panicking.
Well, Joe, could you please enlighten me on what is the 45?
What is the 45?
Exactly.
Yes.
What
decode that, please.
What is the 45? I do not know what is the 45.
You're talking about 45?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
I really wanted to say about these chemical weapons, guys. I mean, what do you really think about this shit? I mean, come on, they're using them. Let's say they use them, Joe, and hundreds of thousands of people die, Joe. Are you saying, should we get in or not, Joe?
Should we get
you
in or what?
You don't have to get involved in it.
We get in, sir. If the hundreds of thousands of people die with the chemical weapons, because, listen, they've been used in mankind. You have
why should we be involved in that bullshit outside of perhaps?
Why should we be involved in it?
Yeah.
Because you know they have a million going over to Turkey now. You know they have a million million refugees already over.
All right. So how does that involve us?
No, but I'm asking you a question.
And I'm telling you the answer.
No. Well, you say no. You say
no.
Okay. All right.
But you got to look at it. That's giving Israel the.
So you don't
up.
Believe in human rights.
That's giving Israel the head to attack Iran. Because they need the airspace. Don't they need Syria airspace to go and attack Iran?
Ooh, so what do you mean? So hypothetically speaking, if we have a race war and all the African-Americans get slaughtered and killed, right, you don't think the U.N. should step in humanity and Russia come and lead the way and help?
You mean the U.S. to step in the Civil War?
Right,
and
instead of United States,
American,
hold up,
well.
Instead of United States being the lead, Russia will be the lead and come and help I mean, because that's
you
a part of humanity.
You don't want the U.N. over here.
But I'm asking you that question. You still think
you
know we'll get slaughtered if we have a race war with guns.
It's not black people to get slaughtered if there's a race war. The only time there's black people get slaughtered if there's a race war.
Hey, no. I'm giving you
otherwise,
an exam.
Too many blacks have guns. It's like too many whites have guns. You're not going to have a race war. You
yeah,
can have a race war if blacks didn't have guns and the blacks got slaughtered.
It's either you go to camp or not. You're going to get your head chopped off. That's why they got 30,000 guillotines now in Georgia and Montana.
Oh, yeah. Did you read about that?
Yeah.
Listen to me. When I made that statement, y'all are saying that I'm saying black people don't have no guns.
I didn't say black
this
people
This country
didn't
is
have
68% Caucasian.
Black people have...
There's 10 million Caucasians.
I could say...
And there's 10 million millionaires... Caucasian millionaires in this country, Joe. They have guns.
And
they
never mind. I'm not even going to ask you where you're going with it because...
Giving an analogy about someone stepping in.
All right.
You're saying that you would sit back and another country in the world to see the whole country, if it has 50 million people in that country, they have a civil war. In a year, 10 million people die, and you sit back and do shit.
Well, if you want you and your sons and nephews to go over there, then
no,
go
I'm
over
asking
there.
You that question. You're saying you would just sit back and just leave them alone. Is that your concept?
That's
your philosophy? That's what you're telling the world,
that's
right?
That's what
now?
I'm telling you.
Okay, that's all.
Are you going to be quiet now, or are you going to wait a few seconds and then start all over again? Okay.
The UN is already here. So
no, I'm here.
The UN is already here, Clinton.
Yes, they are. Well, they're supposed to be a part of the FEMA 3.
Well, look, if you believe the government is corrupt, then you do not want your sons and your daughters now to go over fighting for a corrupt nation's agenda.
That is true, and I don't.
Okay.
So what do you fight for?
You fight for your homeland. You fight when people are going to invade your country.
Right.
Have you noticed any threat to our country outside
of
9/11?
So let's say they invade the country.
Huh?
Let's say they invade the country.
They're not going to invade.
Cells. Let's say they have a cell. Let's say they invade the country by having cells in another foreign country.
Right.
Are funding those cells within the country.
Okay.
We want that foreign country to stop. To end the process, but it doesn't. We still go over there, though, right?
Well, that's what Iran's going to do. Iran has sleepers.
No. I'm asking Joe. He said Joe made the statement to the world. It's being recorded, Joe. You can't take it back. You made the statement that we only fight other countries when our country is being invaded. And I gave you the conclusion. What do you do?
I told you.
I gave you an example. I'm sorry, not a conclusion. I gave you an example.
Okay, can I ask a question? We only have a couple minutes left before
thank
we get
Lord.
Disconnected. I'm sorry, Joe.
You know, you're not the one being interrogated by Michael.
I love it,
well,
Joe.
I
don't
have
run.
A question. Now, you're asking if we should fight for this country or go somewhere else and fight over there. And I'm speaking as a black mother with sons, grown sons, and a daughter. Should I ask my sons or my daughter to go and put their lives on the line for a country, for a system that has systematically not given justice to them or to the black race?
Well, I understand that most definitely, but once again, if Russia would invade this country, would you allow your sons to stand up for their home? Do you want Russian tanks in Delaware running the streets? I have them here in Baltimore totally taking over.
No one would want that.
I mean, the only thing I'm saying is all war is not going to have peace. But when you're talking about what Joe said, every country, unfortunately, we have the lines. Every country is going to have a military, have security. But everything is situational, though. Just to say that, you know, we need to work on the system, but everything is situational. That's all I'm going to have to say. Everything is situational. Because if this country is invaded, of course I think everybody in this borders, whether know what color you are, is going to want to stand up to foreign invaders.
Because you're in my homeland. You're in my backyard. What do you expect me to do?
Right. So let me go back to another thing. Let's say you have terror cells in another foreign country. It's one of those terror cells within this country. You have factual information that they're doing it. You're telling the country to stop. Would you send your boys over to another country to stop them, to take over that country?
I didn't get in that country. I've never even been to that country.
Right, but that country is still affecting your country and within your country.
Well, that's what Iran said. Iran said if America helps Israel and you attack Iran, we will attack you in America. So that means they've been coming over the border the whole time. Since
the
book. I forgot the name of the book.
Questions. Joe don't want to answer the question.
There's a Fannian super.
Joe, you're very intelligent. You understand my situation, my scenario. You don't want to answer it.
I mean, that's you, man. That's you. I'm down here in another region, so I got to hold my region down. You got to hold your region down.
You're in the Pacific region. Let's say China tries to invade.
I mean, I'm in my region. Shit.
What if China tries to invade?
You
know that nuclear bomb gas, man? They said it's still spilling in the air over in the Pacific, guys. What
you
think? That China had, Japan had that nuclear blast they had a couple of years back. It's still spinning over there, and it's still affecting us. What y'all think about that, real quick?
Do you have the basic necessities? That's my question.
They blasted.
Don't bring up a topic. I'm just chatting.
The A-bombs in the atmosphere during the 40s and 50s. I just learned about that a few months ago.
What?
That's a lot of radiation.
Repeat that, Joe, please.
In the 40s and 50s, they blew up 40 to 50 atomic bombs in the atmosphere.
Oh, yeah, and out of space, too. They did it out of space, too.
I mean, there's what about that island that they blew up years ago?
Oh, the atoll,
right?
Bikini Island?
Right.
Yeah.
Suffering from that.
This is why ancient people could live hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. The air was clean, purified.
So, ancient people many years ago could live to the age of Methuselah?
I don't know, but I know it was longer than this time.
Oh, all right. Are you going to make a new show, Antoinette, or what?
No, no, I know Ron was talking about it earlier, but Ron had dropped off a while ago. So
okay.
I don't know if he did or not.
Okay.
When.
All right.
I'm sorry, honey, I don't know.
All right. Okay. But I just, you know, I just, the show's great, except I'm being interrogated by D.A. Michael.
Well, no, we're having dialogue conversations.
I'm only
not afraid of the dialogue, Joe. I mean, you know, you bring things to the table, and, you know, we just question. I mean, you can do me the same damn way, you know.
Look, and I appreciate
I mean, that's how it is. I mean, you shouldn't have came out. You should have stayed in the house. No, you shouldn't have came out and party, Joe.
I know. We're at the bar with the, I don't drink beer or something.
The virtual
I like to
bar.
Drink, I like to drink some scotch and 7 & 7 and stuff like
right,
that.
Right, exactly. You like yeah. to get there straight. You don't like the bullshit. Right, you're my type of man.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Thing
well,
is
I really.
That,
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Joe, please.
No, the thing is that, you know, if we stop this, then I'm going to go over to Perry's show like everybody else, I presume.
Perry's on?
Yeah, well, you know,
no,
we're almost done the hour. We only have 8 minutes left.
Where's Perry?
And
all
since
right.
it was, you know, just a couple of us on the line now.
Oh, all right.
You know, I figured I didn't need to stop and let everyone give closing statements because basically everyone's giving their statement now. It's going to give
yeah.
y'all a couple more minutes to
well,
let
the,
you know it's only a minute or two left.
Okay. Well, the thing is, I don't think that America should be involved in foreign affairs because...
I agree.
Why should people, black or white, lose their lives for other countries? Okay? I mean, it's a good thing if they want to volunteer to do it, but in order, but to brainwash Americans to believe that they have an obligation to go over there and shed your blood, lose your legs, your arms, for another country in this type of corrupt world, it's all about manipulation. Okay? So I'm all against it.
Well, I agree. I agree. I mean, I think America gets into too many people's business and not take care of its own.
For sure.
And there's also repercussions in that.
Yes.
Well, look at what happened during
Malcolm X wanted the UN to get in here. He wanted the United States to be charged on human rights violations where other countries would have came and helped the black people in this country with the civil rights. So, I mean, other people
yeah,
have
let me tell y'all something that just came across, okay? Well, it came across early. I'm just late getting it. But Russia may reinforce naval grouping in the Mediterranean in response to U.S. buildup.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've been talking about that over the course of a few months. They're always raising what I would, you know, I guess the terrorism.
A red flag, a red herring.
Yeah, they're always saying that they're going to do this. They've issued warnings before about, I think, the Japanese ships and the Chinese ships in that particular region and the United States ships. So
yeah.
It's always about, yeah, it's a red herring, it's a red flag, it's all of this nonsense. And we have no reason. You know, people will say the only legitimate reason that we do have to be over there is to control the oil route so that we don't have a shortage of oil.
Right.
People don't seem to realize we are now exporting more oil than we are importing. We have plenty of oil.
Yeah, well, I say it's for the poppy seed.
Oh, we're in Afghanistan for the poppy fields for sure.
Yeah.
Before we got there, the
Oh,
the
you
Taliban,
wouldn't agree going to send a soldier with a joint effort with the UN over there? Airstrikes, joint effort with other countries to stop a massacre over there?
If you want...
Yeah, I'm asking you, Joe, that. Would you have a joint effort?
Do
not American
want,
troops.
It's unfortunate that other people will die at the hands of other people. Why should we continue to send over our boys to die over there?
Right.
Anybody who wants to go, they're free to go. If they want to join mercenary groups, let them
join.
Well,
we have a volunteer army, though. We don't have a draft.
So?
They don't volunteer to go over there, though. some of them, they don't have no choice if they get the
No,
board.
No, yeah. When you know, when you in the volunteer army, you volunteer to say whatever, foreign and domestic.
You can't say you don't want to go in the
foreign
army,
and domestic. I know foreign and domestic threat.
People didn't want you to go, when people that didn't want to go to Iraq.
Your recruiter can tell you anything. But if you once you sign the dotted line, they can send you anywhere they want.
Exactly. Exactly, Joe. Exactly. You're 100% correct. And you know this going in.
Yeah.
Right, it's different than the draft.
Mike, what's your point?
I'm not making no points, Joe.
No, you're not making
I'm making a point. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just asking questions. That's all.
Excuse
okay,
me.
So,
gentlemen, we have 3 minutes
All right, guys,
left.
I'm about to roll.
Okay, now let me say this before you go, Alsax. I thank you for coming. I thank you for calling. And I thank you, Joe, and Michael Hood, and whoever else is on the line that I may have missed. Forgive me. And I'm sure everyone's going over to Perry's. I'm getting ready to go to Perry's.
Okay.
And check back at 1 o'clock because I know Ron has said 12.
Okay.
So he's probably speaking of 12 his time. So 1 o'clock.
So it's going to be 1 o'clock what time?
I'm thinking East Coast time. So
Eastern
12
time.
Your
okay,
1 time.
O'clock Eastern time? All right.
Yeah, so that, I don't know where
that's
you are, 12, Joe.
That's
so.
12 midnight Central time.
Oh, okay. So you're, yes, yeah, Central. Yeah, because Ron is Central, so you are correct.
Okay.
But I want to thank you all for coming and for helping me out while Ron deserted me tonight.
He's not even.
So I really appreciate it. And
Ron.
So I ask you all to check back and, of course, to come again tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, and we shall be here, not unless I decide to disappear on Ron.
Is that 9 o'clock Central, Eastern, or what time?
Eastern, I'm sorry. 8
okay.
o'clock Central.
Okay.
Okay, but thank you all for coming. And, you know, again, I truly appreciate it. And I enjoyed everyone's comments.
Can you have a spam filter from Mike so that he doesn't have to show up?
No, I enjoy Mike. I enjoy
Mike
you.
There? Is Mike still there? Oh, okay, he can't hear me? Oh, too bad.
I don't know why. We have a minute, and you know what? I have even lost where I can't do anything in the chat room. I can't even end the show. But you know, I'm sure
Blog
Talk ended
on
its own.
Itself. Don't worry. It'll go off
yeah.
by itself.
Okay.
All right, I'll
see you. Because I wanted to make sure. Okay, have a good night. Thank
you.
You
too. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you, everyone. Have a good night. Bye-bye.